Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're entering the most critical time in human history. The wheat is being divided from the chaff. We're live. It's Friday, the 18th day of December, 2015. I wouldn't call this a working vacation. I'm on air, but I've got so much technically to do with launching the TV network on more UHF, VHF, and cable stations next year, and so much to do in preparation for sending out our investigative reporters on big stories that what I do is around the Christmas holidays, I'll take a few days off next week and a few days maybe the week after that, and basically stay here at the office and work. And that's what I'm doing. Paul Watson is going to be hosting the show today, but I'll be here in the second hour, and I'll be here for part of this hour as well. What happens is I do a 3-4 hour radio show, and I get really drained. Then I've got to take about an hour break generally in my office. Then I work till 5, 6, 7 at night. So in the holidays, I just get home at 4 or 5 to see my children. And end up, so for me, that's a vacation, just working till 4 o'clock. So excuse me for my vacation time, but I am here for my vacation right now. Seriously, though, wild horses couldn't drag me away. Legendary, epic, those are the words for what's going on every front. Incredible technological developments, incredible discoveries every day of Earth-like planets very close to us and bionic eyes that see almost as good as a human eye, giving sight to the blind, just fabulous good stuff happening. While criminals in the criminal psycho class who enjoy dominating and screwing people over, who are in competition against competition and against a level playing field, they are waging war against the free market. They are looting our countries to the ground to consolidate power and hoard it all for themselves. They can't stand that there's competition in media. They can't stand there's competition in ideas because they lose on that playing field. They are sore loser failures. They are monopoly men and women. Big broadcast today. We're going to go to break in a moment. But first, we'll talk to Paul Watson about some of what he's going to be covering. But this House easily approves $1.1 trillion funding bill, 316 to 113. Rush Limbaugh calls it the Republicans selling the American people down the river. That's absolutely accurate. The FBI's arrested more for Islamic State planned mass casualty attacks on rush hour traffic and on colleges in California. And Obama comes out with a holiday speech saying there's no credible terror threat. He said that a few days before San Bernardino. So normally what he says is the exact opposite. It's what the devil does. He lies. You didn't build your business. 2 plus 2 equals 5. Raising the debt doesn't raise the debt. We're not coming for your guns, but we're going to ban them. This is a war against reality to condition you to accept total fraud. And so, Paul Watson, this and a lot more today. Paul Ryan builds a big fence around his house, his big mansion, gorging off taxpayer money and insider deals. But he won't let America even have a basic border patrol. He's involved in massive amnesty through this spending bill and going to bring in more ISIS and Al-Qaeda people in the refugee stream. I mean, with people like Paul Ryan, who needs Hillary Clinton, Paul Watson?
Well, I mean, the term conservative cuckold came out a few months ago, and that describes it perfectly. But as you said at the start of the show, I mean, this year has been the most tumultuous in terms of news stories that I can ever remember. You know, you're talking about Charlie Hebdo, the rise of Trump, the migrant crisis, the Paris attacks. I mean, it's been momentous in so many ways, and it continues to be that way right up until the end of the year. So just the stories that we've covered recently are monumental, and they're still flooding in.
That's right, and what's really scary is that InfoWars, with your great work and Drudge magnifying what we're doing and so many others, is just devastating globalists everywhere. And, man, they are sending their enemies in out of the woodwork, which is great. We expect full frontal attacks, both on the ground here locally, we're fully aware of those operations, and from the central occupied government. But believe me, folks, we are in the thick of battle. Paul Watson, stay there. We'll be back.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe. and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate. And I hope that judge...
That's right, all the bad things that have happened to me in my life only made me stronger. All the vicious, horrible things our enemies do only makes us that much better. And I thank God for all those blessings. And always taking us through it. Well, we've got the Donald Trump pinata here. The Democrats have been around the country holding birthday parties and things where they scream death to the racist and children beat up Donald Trump pinatas. So I ordered one online. It turns out they're a very popular item. And I guess I'm going to pull some stunt with it. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do. But it's going to happen here in the next few days. It'll be up on Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Perhaps we should go out and do a person on the street and ask folks if they think that Donald Trump should be beaten and see if they'd like to beat him there on the side of the street. Maybe we'll have a long pole and hang Donald Trump, the pinata, out there so they can hit it and kind of parrot the mainstream media. And then we can actually talk about some of Donald Trump's real policies with them and find out why they want to suicide this republic and why they take some of his statements that are pretty mild and get so vitriolic about it. So we are going to be actually interviewing the pinata here in the next few days. Not as good as the real Trump that joined us a few weeks ago, and I'm told will be joining us again in the new year. And I'm going to stop right there and tell you that in the new year, I'm going to be traveling to a major U.S. city to interview someone, and this interview will probably be as big as the Trump interview. Now, what other interviews could be that big? Not Rand Paul, not Ted Cruz. Who else could be as big as the Trump interview or as big as the Matt Drudge interview? Riddle me this, Batman. And so that is coming up. And, of course, I'll be doing it in person. In person. I've been invited into their home for the interview, and I really look forward to it. And it's going to be groundbreaking and very, very important. So you know that I kind of sneak up big interviews on people generally. I didn't tell you Trump was coming on, even though I knew a week before he was. And who knows, there might be another Trump interview too soon, but that's not the big event. It's not a second Trump interview. Though a second Trump interview is in the works. And again, it's what it signifies. That Trump knows the mainstream media is going to demonize him coming on the show, so he does it to show them how irrelevant and pathetic and snot-nosed they are. Now, that said, obviously, the big news today is extremely, extremely important, because out of all of the stories I have, there is one in particular that's up on Infowars.com, and there's a video of this, and I don't want to steal his thunder, because he's going to be covering it here in just a moment and hosting the broadcast today. Paul Joseph Watson video. This is a Rosetta Stone story. There are so many stories that we point at that if you understand this story, you understand the whole agenda. Through this keyhole, you can see a great universe on the other side. Video. Canadian children sing Muhammad worship song. Prime Minister tweets approval. Song inspired by Muhammad's return to Medina after he forced Christians to convert to Islam, but also killed thousands by chopping their heads off. And it's a Christmas carol group with the government, and they have the Christians invite the, quote, refugees in. 1.2 million views, 11,000 thumbs up. The prime minister, the newly elected prime minister, praising it as the little Christian children in the big state-run TV productions that aren't Christmas carols anymore. It is, we celebrate you, Muhammad, chop the Christian's head off, let the blood spew, oh, we love you, welcome. But in Islamic Arabic. And the song is inspired from another song itself from the Quran. And, of course, I'm all open-minded. I agree. My head should be chopped off, please. And, you know, make my family, my girls wear headdresses and all these other horrible things. No, I don't agree with that. Oh, I'm being hateful because I'm not just supposed to be tolerant. I'm supposed to adopt the most radical allies of socialists everywhere. In fact, Paul Watson wrote a story a few weeks ago. He's doing another one where ISIS admits in their official publication that they're recruiting leftist ideologues and students, so-called intellectuals, sickoid freaks. And I was talking to Paul Watson last night, and he said, you know, a lot of what you'd call the conspiracy culture people are, it's a minority of them, but some are saying, you know, Alex Jones, because it's always fun to be able to shoot at Alex Jones, because if you can do that, it makes you a bigger man or a bigger woman. Alex Jones is promoting the clash of civilizations, and Alex Jones is bad. And Alex Jones wants to kill all the Arabs and the Muslims. That's like saying if I'm against shooting cops in the back of the head when they pump gas or change a tire, then I'm for police brutality. No, I'm not for George Soros funding a diseased revolution in this country of leftists to burn down every major city and have the feds come in and federalize the police and then prosecute free speech and environmental crimes and all their other plans for the future to fill the prisons with patriots and law-abiding citizens. I stand against globalist plans, globalist programs, what the globalists push, what they stand for, what they do. So if they want me to hate the police and go out and have federally run, UN run, strong cities initiatives, takeovers of the police, I'm against it. If they want me to turn my guns in, I'm against it. If they want open borders, I'm against it. Then I can intellectually also show you why that's a smart case. The globalists want open borders. The globalists want to bring in millions of people that invaded Syria to take it over and now failed, and they want to bring them here when large portions are ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda fighters on record who will attack. ISIS put out a statement yesterday saying we have sleeper cells everywhere and a blitzkrieg is about to begin. That's their word. A blitzkrieg, a lightning war. And at the end of it, the criminal globalists will take all of our rights, expand a police state, surveil everyone, but still keep the borders wide open. So I'm against bringing these people in so they can attack us. And I'm also pointing out we have to jump through all these political hoops to be able to supposedly be safe and waive all our rights. But then when it comes to actually shipping people in from Mexico, Africa, the Middle East, wherever, they don't even look at their passports or IDs. That's in the news. They just say, come on in. And every day it's in the news where they disappear by the thousands in Texas and Louisiana and New York, California. And the feds go, we're not going to tell the police even what their names are. They're just free to do whatever. But I almost got a proctology exam the last time I flew in from a 4-day trip to Cancun with my kids. One of these people didn't like me, knew who I was, said, go in the back. And then a senior guy came in and said, look, we know you're not smuggling anything, Alex, you can go. We apologize. I said, we don't need to apologize. I kind of got mad, too. I'm sorry. The point was, is that this is a joke. Then there was the grape jelly thing. I was at a farmer's market in Omaha, bought some grape jelly for my mom. And they flipped out and said, next time you'll be charged. I almost missed my flight. They interrogated me for 45 minutes about the grape jelly. Why'd you bring it? Why'd you commit the crime? Trying to set me up. And I said, I just didn't think about it. I still thought I was in a free country. Sorry about the grape jelly. But see, the globalists want the open borders. They want to bring these people in. I am against it. But see, people that criticize us don't really want to save the country or have a free world or a future. They just want to feel like they are intellectually superior. So let me wave a magic wand for you. Sparkle noise, bling, you are superior to me. You're smarter than me, you're better than me, you're harder working than me. You could beat me up, I'm a wimp. You've got the answer, so you go out there, all of you, on the message board, on YouTube, wherever, it's a minority of folks, but I want to address them, because me and Paul were talking about it last night, and you save the world. Oh, I get it. You save it by criticizing me. Good. Do it more. Let me bait you. You don't know how things work in the third and fourth dimension politically. You're attacking me only makes me bigger. So keep it up, and which they will. I'm taunting them right now. Continue. Attack. Do it. I want the attacks. I'm fully committed. I expect it. I want it. I expect to get strong enough and big enough to contend with the enemy's biggest operations. And if I lose, I win. If I win, I win. I committed to goodness. I committed to liberty. I committed to truth. I committed to justice. I win. Period. That's the big secret. And everybody else can win. Deciding to join liberty and freedom. Deciding to fight for sovereignty. To fight for parental rights. To fight for the republic. To fight for your country. To fight for your family. Anything the globalists push, anything the Fortune 100 pushes, is your enemy. Period. And I'm not going to judge you like a Pharisee if you go to a football game or buy a Fortune 100 car. You don't have a choice. But you can still support the Liberty Movement and make choices where you can to build up local communities, to build up local farmers, to buy American, and to do what you can to expose the globalist operations. So I'm going to just punch out, let Paul Watson come back and respond to this, go over the news, cover it all, huge budget news, you name it. But I'm proud of being against totally open borders. I'm proud of saying we shouldn't bring in a bunch of refugees who are known terrorists, many of them. I'm proud of telling you first there were Stinger missiles at Benghazi. I'm proud of exposing fluoride as meant to reduce your IQ, now totally admitted. We're vindicated on every front. Everything. Everything you see happening, we told you 15, 20 years ago. That's why we're exploding. And so just let Rachel Maddow, let there be thousands of articles a week attacking us and lying about us and saying things I didn't say, that there's big wasp under the Capitol building or under the UN and that we didn't moon land and that, you know, all this bull. It doesn't work anymore. Good. Continue your attacks. Point everyone at InfoWars. They'll find the truth. I'll be back in the second hour. Here's Paul Watson. It's Paul Watson's theme song. In 1814, we took a little trip along the Mississippi to the mighty.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we caught the bloody British.
I didn't intend to play the bumper music coming in here. Paul Watson actually can't stand the Queen and all the rest of it. And, you know, more than half the people in the UK, back then England, were against the Revolutionary War in this country, and that's why we had so much support in England. And after a six-year war, they finally had put so much pressure. That's why the king backed down and sued for peace. So that's a good thing. And you know, that's where our freedoms first began to be recognized and focused on. They didn't come from that, but people began to point to them was in Runnymede in 1215. And Lord Monckton was on yesterday and said, Prince Charles better think about other princes and kings that have had their heads cut off, including his ancestor, Charles I, if he continues to engage in treason against the UK. Pretty bold statement from Lord Monckton. Never heard him talk like that. We ought to get Paul's take on that later. Paul, I'm going to hand the baton to you. I know you were supposed to be hosting today. I appreciate you doing it. But I'm up here, you know, obviously doing bookkeeping work, working on the TV network, and just couldn't get drug away from the microphone. Appreciate all the intel and stuff you've got coming up today. And I'll be back some for part of the second hour. And we're working on some other special reports. But just to finish up, when I talk about Clash of Civilizations, for those that don't know, Dick Cheney and others wrote the PNAC report back in 2000. We'll go destabilize the Middle East. We'll engage in all these different activities. And then we will use the crises out of the destabilized Middle East to go in and take it over. And then we'll use the continuing threat to take everybody's rights here in America. Well, people then say, well, that's what they're doing. Exactly. So we're opposing their war to invade, their war to destabilize, their war to do all of this. And then we failed at that. So now we're opposing their next phase to flood us with all these third world jihadis. See how that works? We're opposing the globalist plan every step of the way, but people aren't sophisticated enough to get that. Since the globalists destabilized the Middle East, put radicals in, we're now supposed to accept their next phase of the plan and bring them in here to complete that phase. Paul, that makes no sense. Why can't people be sophisticated enough to understand if the globalists want to bring all these jihadis in, it might not be a good idea? I mean, we oppose the wars. We expose the false flag. We oppose going in. We tried to stop it. We failed. Now we're trying to stop the next phase. We have a chance of stopping it. I mean, where is the logic out there, Paul? You've got the floor. I'll see you next hour.
Well, it's again, it's the inability for people to hold more than one thought in their head at one time. So if you criticize the wave of immigrants who aren't integrated into our culture, who are already causing crime waves, rape epidemics, then that also means for some reason that you're pro-empire, you're pro-military intervention, when that's partly what caused the refugee problem in the first place. So again, some people think there's some grand narrative behind InfoWars, that we're pushing some grand conspiracy when we're simply covering the news cycle. Like people say to me, you know, why are you so obsessed with feminists? Why are you always talking about feminists? Why are you always talking about Black Lives Matter? Why are you always talking about Trump? I'm talking about the news cycle. That's how it works. So obviously, with the current refugee crisis and the Paris massacre, we're talking about Muslim migration. We're talking about jihadist
terror. They admit they're going to use the immigrant wave as an excuse to totally invade the Middle East, destabilize it more, set up an EU army over the people, and suppress the citizens. It's so obvious. Well, how are these people so stupid?
And then you look at ISIS themselves. That's what they're saying. That's what a caliphate is. It's an empire. They basically want to recreate what Muhammad and the Muslims created before the Christian Crusades. They want to take Rome. This is just history repeating itself over and over again. So to simply draw attention to what they want is not embracing that entire narrative. To draw attention to people being raped, Muslim women primarily being raped, people having their hands chopped off, women being stoned to death, that's not pushing a clash of civilizations. That's pushing classical liberal principles that everybody needs to stand behind, if not be called a complete hypocrite, which is a big problem at the moment with the regressive left, who the moment you mention that there might be a problem integrating these people, many of whom are illiterate, they've got no respect for women, they've got no respect for minorities, yet we have to adapt to them. And to even suggest that that might be an issue, which it's already proving to be an issue, that means you're a bigot, you're an Islamophobe. And then you've even got left-wing organizations, and I'll get into this more after the break, listing as anti-Muslim bigots devout Muslims, American Muslims, who are campaigning against things like honor killings. So these left-wingers, these middle-class white liberals, are actually putting actual devout Muslims on hate lists because they criticize the intolerant aspects of their own religion. It's completely crazy, but we're going to get more into it after the break. A ton of news and Peter Schiff coming up. This is the Friday edition of The Alex Jones Show Live with me, Paul Joseph Watson. We'll be right back.
It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork, and just dumb enough to passively accept jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
And you said recently, quote, when you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do.
You better believe it.
So what specifically did they do?
If I ask them, if I need them, you know, most of the people on this stage I've given to, just so you understand, a lot of money.
You and I are not in the big club. The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We are back. On the Alex Jones Show Friday edition, the Dow Jones is currently down about 270 points. Gold has shot up again, of course, after this week's Federal Reserve interest rate rise. We're going to have economist Peter Schiff on the show in the third hour to discuss the ramifications of that. We're going to take your calls also later in the show. But Alex mentioned it just in the previous segment. Top story on Infowars.com. Video. Canadian children sing Muhammad worship song. PM tweets approval. Video shows Canadian children singing a song which celebrates Muhammad's arrival in Medina after he forced Christians to convert to Islam under threat of death. Here's the video. So you've got about 100 or more, probably 200 Canadian school children obviously having been told to sing this pro-Muhammad worship song. The composer of this song told the Ottawa Citizen, this was musician Laura Hawley, that it was influenced by an Arabic song, a Muslim song called Tala al-Badru al-Nanya, and that it blended in elements of that with her original composition. So it wasn't that original song, but it was inspired by that song and included elements of that song. So I actually went and researched where this song came from, what inspired that song, which again, in turn, inspired the song being sung by Canadian school children. Again, the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, tweeted out his approval for them singing this song the day after they welcomed 163 Syrian refugees into Canada. The composer claims it's got nothing whatsoever to do with that. But if you actually research the origins of this song, it celebrates the aftermath of the Battle of Tobruk, which back in history was an expedition, a military expedition or a jihad to what is present day northwestern Saudi Arabia. So basically, Muhammad, with about 30,000 troops, led them to this area to face off with the Byzantine army. The Byzantine army were not present when Muhammad arrived, so it wasn't really a battle in the true sense of the word. But what they did do while they were there in this area, which is now Saudi Arabia, was force Jews and Christians to convert to Islam under threat of death or pay a jizya, which of course is a tax for non-believers, the same tax currently being imposed by ISIS on Christians in the Middle East, who they basically go to and say, you will pay this crippling tax, which is, you know, around 20% of their income, or we'll behead you and take your wives as sex slaves. So they either have to convert to Islam or pay this humiliating tax. That's what this song is about. That's what Muhammad did when he went to this area, which is now Saudi Arabia, went there to fight the Byzantine army. They weren't there, so his Muslim army simply took over the entire area and forced everyone to convert to Islam. And it's actually mentioned in the Quran. The Quran refers to the battle by calling on Muslims to fight and kill non-believers until they, quote, pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. The jizya, again, is a crippling tax which ISIS is now imposing on Christians in the Middle East. And then it also refers to a letter in the Quran that Muhammad sent to the Christian prince Allah, threatening him to convert to Islam, pay the jizya, or be killed. So in summary, you've got Canadian children, 200 of them, up there basically singing a song that celebrates the subjugation and submission of Christians to Islam after thousands of Muslims took over a large portion of territory. So as I write in the article, given that history and given what this song is based on, it would perhaps have been less provocative simply to have the children chant Allah Akbar instead. And of course, this concern about Islamization of the schools has been a relevant issue in recent weeks. We've got a story here out of newsplex.com. Augusta County schools closed due to calligraphy assignment reaction. According to a statement from the county schools administration, it's because numerous phone calls and emails that have been sent to schools in the area following a geography assignment that involved copying Arabic calligraphy. But of course, the calligraphy that these children at this school were told to copy by their geography teacher was the Shahada, or the Muslim statement of faith that translates as "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." So now you've got a bunch of irate parents complaining to the school that their children were forced to basically tacitly, in print, convert to become Muslim. No doubt they're up in arms about it. The school reacted by closing entirely, citing threats. They say there was no actual physical threat to the students or the teachers, but merely the vitriol coming from the parents has forced the school to close today. Then we have this out of CVS Minnesota. A couple of days ago, parents questioned choice to sing Allah Akbar at holiday concert. Some parents in the Anoka Hennepin School District are questioning a choir teacher's decision to use a song about Ramadan performed in Arabic at a holiday concert. Or in other words, a Christmas concert. We can't say that anymore. It's not politically correct. At Thursday night's concert at Blaine High School, one of the song students will be singing includes Arabic words, including the phrase Allah Akbar, which means God is great, and of course is the phrase that terrorists chant and scream right before they murder and massacre innocent people. So basically, you've got school children across America, you've got employees' office parties saying, you've got people in universities saying, don't call it a Christmas party. That might offend somebody. That's not culturally sensitive. Don't have red and green holiday decorations. That might trigger somebody. Maybe it'll, you know, upset someone like Saeed Farouk. That was apparently one of his triggers before the San Bernardino massacre. It might upset the special snowflakes if we dare mention the word Christmas. Meanwhile, it's perfectly fine to have kids, you know, transcribing calligraphy. They're basically converting to become Muslim, singing songs about how Allah is great. Over in Canada, singing songs about a Muslim conquest where Jews and Christians were forced to convert to Islam under pain of death. That's perfectly acceptable, but don't you dare mention the word Christmas. So again, it's kind of this fusion of the West being forced to adopt to this culture, and it might be okay if we could actually celebrate our own culture in the process, but we can't do that anymore. That's bad, that's evil, that's politically incorrect, and it might upset somebody. It might upset the next Saeed Farouk, who might massacre a bunch of people as a result. Now, from Canada, one liberal basket case to another, we've got this out of Sweden. Up on Infowars.com, Sweden's top public broadcaster bans use of the word immigrant. Sweden's top public broadcaster, SVT, and this is their equivalent of the BBC in the United Kingdom, which of course is funded by mandatory television license fees, where they throw you in a cage if you don't pay it. Of course, the BBC intimately tied to the state, so it's the Swedish version of that. Has ordered its employees not to use the word immigrant because it might be seen as politically incorrect. It might upset the special snowflake jihadists that are basically taking over Sweden, while also prohibiting the terms black and dark skinned because they may arouse criticism of terrorists and criminals. We don't want to hurt the feelings of terrorists and rapists. They're special snowflakes that deserve their own safe space. We can't offend their feelings. So basically, they've issued a new language manual. Sounds like something straight out of 1984, which orders the journalist not to say immigrant because it might be offensive to immigrants who have become Swedish citizens. When describing terrorists or criminals, this is also in the language manual, employees have also been told not to use the words black, African origin, or dark skin. Again, because it may arouse criticism of criminals. We don't want to hurt their feelings. However, using the words white or fair-skinned in the same context is perfectly acceptable. Completely ridiculous, but what do you expect out of Sweden? I mean, this is a country whose expert on Islamophobia went on to join ISIS. This is a country whose top bishop calls for removing Christian crosses from churches so as not to upset Muslim migrants who are moving into them. What else was in this language guide? The guide also mandated that anyone accused of discrimination or racism by immigrants is not given any airtime to defend themselves. So again, nothing to do with equality, taking away the free speech rights of somebody to defend themselves if they've been labeled a racist by an immigrant, because now they've got special rights that supersede everybody else in the name of tolerance and progressivism. So again, Sweden. This is a place where their politicians call for their citizens to house migrants in their own garages while the country labours under a housing shortage. It's a country where, as we reported a couple of weeks ago, victims of Muslim gang rapes are unsure about whether to report the crime to police because they fear doing so may offend the perpetrator. There was actually a woman who was gang raped on a train in Sweden. She was unsure about reporting the crime to the authorities because she thought the precious snowflake rapist might be deported back to his own country. God forbid anybody would want that. And again, the people who bring this up in Sweden, bearing in mind that it's now the rape capital of the West, number two globally for rape in Sweden since they opened the doors to mass immigration. This is a country that prosecutes prominent politicians merely for drawing attention to the rape statistics, which we've covered before, a 1,400% increase in rapes in Sweden since the 1970s. Merely highlighting that fact leads to people being charged with hate crimes in Sweden. And again, this is why we constantly draw attention to Sweden, because if we don't stop this insanity right now in America, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, this is where we're all heading. I mean, I put out a video about a week ago saying stoning women to death for being raped is bad. Beheading people for being gay is bad. Executing people who leave the religion of Islam is bad. I put out that video. I was reported to the police for hate speech. You can't say that lopping off the heads of homosexual people is bad because it might offend the Muslims, therefore it's hate speech. You can't criticize the religion of Islam because it's racist, even though it's not a race. And those are the kind of laws that are already on the books in Sweden. We've had prominent politicians go to court and be charged with hate crimes simply for talking about crime statistics and the fact that in over 70% of cases in Sweden, rapists are foreign-born immigrants. It's just a fact. That's the rape culture that they imported into Sweden. And anyone who draws attention to that is now treated as a hate criminal. Again, this is our future if we don't stand up to this politically correct insanity. So we've got Canadian school children singing songs about how Muhammad, you know, threatened to chop people's heads off if they didn't convert to Islam. It's trendy, it's progressive, it's liberal. Then we got this out of WorldNet Daily. Arrested German jihadist, Islamic blitzkrieg coming. A detained German terrorist told authorities that Chancellor Angela Merkel can expect an Islamic blitzkrieg from returning fighters. Of course, Merkel, Time magazine's Person of the Year, after opening the doors to a million in the initial wave immigrants, the vast majority of them Muslim. Now we're seeing actual ISIS jihadists arrested in Germany, brazenly asserting, proclaiming, predicting that these jihadists that Merkel has brought into the country will commit terror attacks, just like in Paris, where the ringleader, the mastermind of the Paris massacre, bragged about how he was able to travel back and forth between Europe and Syria by abusing the refugee program, which of course the FBI says that they can't vet these people coming into the United States. So now, Harry S., this is the name of the jihadist, said he was twice approached by ISIS members in the spring to conduct terror attacks inside Germany, but told them he was not ready. He fled Syria in the middle of the night after months of witnessing executions. So this is a guy that fought alongside them. Now he's speaking out against them. And that's not all. There's another report of somebody arrested in a refugee camp in Germany, which we're going to get to. But what I wanted to mention is, you remember after the Paris massacre, we had this bizarre situation in Germany where there was an apparent attempted attack on a soccer stadium. This was just days after the Paris massacre. And suddenly that story completely disappeared. The German authorities said that there were no explosives, despite the fact that police and emergency personnel directly said they were. They covered up the attack, it appears, so as not to reinforce this narrative that these Muslim migrants do indeed pose a terror threat. We'll be back with this and more stories after the break. It's the Alex Jones Show live, Infowars.com. Don't go away.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Oh, yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play.
Down 282 points at the moment. Of course, a few days after the interest rate was hiked by the Federal Reserve. We're going to have Peter Schiff in the third hour to discuss that. He's going to discuss gold. Today, he said on CNBC, it would eventually go up to $5,000 an ounce. So we'll ask him about that. Also, oil plummeting, of course, what that means for the future of the US economy, and if it signifies that there is another great recession around the corner. But if you go to InfoWarsStore.com, and this is only going to be in effect for the next hour, I'm told, so this is really your last chance to take this opportunity, free shipping on all InfoWarsStore.com orders, and only 3 days left for guaranteed Christmas delivery. So you really need to get your orders in as quickly as possible, of course. It supports this network. It supports the expansion of this network. It allows us to send reporters out to all these different hotspots and to actually tackle and take on the mainstream media. And it's just been a huge help over the past several years. So we've got 20% off X2 nascent iodine. Give the gift of total health and we'll mail it directly to your friends and family. As you heard Alex mention in the break, the Essentials Pack, Survival Shield X2, Super Male or Female Vitality, and Silver Bullet. That's 33% off on that special deal. We got the Cleanse Pack, which is Deep Cleanse, Liver Cleanse, Oxy Powder. That's 28% off retail. And Winter Sun Vitamin D, 15% off, as well as other special deals at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, 3 days left to get your order in. And that offer on free shipping, so I'm told, is going to end very shortly. So be sure to get your orders in at InfoWarsStore.com, and it helps build this network. Sputnik News is reporting, ISIS terrorists seized in German refugee camp. But I thought they were all orphans and widows. I mean, that's what President Barack Obama said, right? You've got nothing to worry about. They're just orphans and widows. Well, we had one arrested in Netherlands last week, another ISIS terrorist. We had hundreds of, quote, refugees found with ISIS flags and beheading videos on their cell phones in Italy. Again, just orphans and widows. And now we've got an ISIS terrorist seized in a German refugee camp. A Syrian suspected of working with ISIS was apprehended in a refugee camp in Germany. Laith Deham Alderi, reportedly known as the Paymaster, was seized by authorities at a refugee camp in the town of Unna, according to Bild. Alderi was allegedly working as the terrorist group's accountant and was identified by authorities thanks to a photo of him posted online by Syrian anti-ISIS activists. So, of course, you remember during the first wave of the refugee crisis back in September, we had these Free Syrian Army fighters and al-Nusra fighters coming into German train stations. There were comparison pictures posted on Twitter of them with Kalashnikovs, and then arriving in Germany, people said, oh, they were fighting for the Free Syrian Army. They're the moderate rebels. They're the good guys. Don't be Islamophobic. Of course, we know that the Free Syrian Army, many of them defected to ISIS. Many of them gave their weapons to ISIS, And many of them did the same with al-Nusra, which is an al-Qaeda offshoot. So yet more reports of these individuals being found in refugee camps. Just the other day, we had another two suspects in the Paris massacre found in a refugee camp in Austria, again highlighting that this is a major threat. We're going to come back after the break, though, with more news. The Obama administration has lost thousands of terrorists. That's a huge story right now. We'll be back on The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. Don't go away.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate. And I hope
Paul Joseph Watson back live on The Alex Jones Show. Alex is going to be popping back in the next segment. In the third hour, we're going to talk to Peter Schiff about the economy. The Dow Jones is currently down about 270 points. We've got gold surging back up again, and the oil price continues to plummet. So we're going to see what Peter thinks that means for the future of the economy. We're also going to talk about the shrinking middle class. But here's the headline out of progressivestoday.com. Lord of the Rings star says terrorists have legitimate complaints about the West. Liberal actor Ian McKellen recently made some eyebrow-raising remarks about ISIS. Here's the clip.
I suppose terrorists just want to disrupt our lives and make it hell. And I think our answer, because what can one do as an individual, is to carry on.
Yeah, they're very chicken terrorists.
It's dreadful, and so extreme in their views. And, you know, I'm sure the legitimate complaint that your country and my country have meddled in their affairs is a fair one, but it doesn't justify this.
So Ian McKellen says that they have legitimate complaints and that the West meddling in their countries to some extent justifies ISIS attacks. Well, of course, this is completely erroneous because the very creation, the very existence of ISIS relies on the fact that the West meddle in those countries. So that was a boon to ISIS. It wasn't a grievance. The Pentagon knew that their meddling in Syria in trying to topple a secular leadership in Bashar al-Assad would lead to the creation, in their own words, of a Salafist principality, in other words, ISIS. So it's not that the grievance is legitimate that we intervened in Syria. ISIS owes its very existence to the fact that we intervened. So they should be pleased with that. But again, it's another one of these. We saw it after Charlie Hebdo. You know, maybe the cartoonists deserved to be slaughtered in cold blood because they dared offend the precious jihadists. We saw it again after the Paris massacre, where the cuckolded left ran about denying again that Islamic extremism was a problem, you know, hug a Muslim and all that. And it was just a giant exercise once again in virtue signaling. They refused to face up to the problem because it transgresses their regressivism. And we saw that again in the UK with this petition to ban Donald Trump. People trying to virtue signal while they're actually endorsing the criminalization of free speech. Well, now it emerges out of the Express headline. It's a fiddle. Petition to ban Trump from UK signed multiple times by the same people. Government petitions being abused online by activists organizing mass signings to trigger government debates. Remember, if these petitions get over 100,000 signatures in the UK, Parliament actually debates the issue. So whereas most of these petitions are useless, this one actually has teeth. Well, in a matter of minutes, reporters from the Express were able to sign government petitions multiple times using the same name and postcode. So they're saying this is probably what happened here. The Trump ban petition was signed 562,000 times, becoming the most signed government online petition since the site's launch in 2012. But now they're saying there's evidence that individual people signed this same petition 50 times each. So if you've got thousands of people who are organized, then imagine how many hundreds of thousands of fake signatures you could get added onto these petitions, obviously triggering a parliamentary debate. And then they had the Don't Ban Trump petition, which was soaring in signatures. Then suddenly 20, 30,000 get removed. There were none removed from the Ban Trump petition. So again, some very, very shady goings on with that. We'll be back after the break with Alex and with more news. We're going to talk about how the EU is exploiting the refugee crisis to basically further a plan for an occupying army. This is a huge story. We'll be back on the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. Stay tuned.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones Show. Now, Stefan Molyneux, who's been a guest on the Alex Jones Show before, put out a great video yesterday called The Truth About the Crusades, and this really resonated with me because I made a video myself about a week ago called Islam is Not a Religion of Peace. Yes, sorry for committing that thought crime. Basically pointing out that the regressive left, they respond to arguments about, you know, beheading gay people is bad, stoning rape victims to death is bad, executing people who leave the religion of Islam is bad. They respond to those arguments, those very specific arguments, which are very specific policies being carried out by Islamic nations, by basically saying, oh, but what about the Crusades? What about intolerant passages in the Bible, which nobody even pays attention to anymore? Nobody has acted on for hundreds of years. So what about the Crusades? Well, Stefan Molyneux put out this video basically pointing out, documenting the historical fact that the Crusades were a defensive war, were a reaction, a military reaction to the Muslim Crusades that went for hundreds of years before. And of course, I pointed out, this is what ISIS wants again. This is their caliphate. They want to reach Europe just as they tried to do back, you know, 1,500 years ago. But also, Molyneux makes the point that we can't have a history. As a European civilization, we can't have a history and, you know, blame our defaults, our defects on the mere fact of the situation at the time, the historical context. It has to all be about white guilt. So it has to be about imperialism, you know, smallpox blankets, genocide. That's the historical narrative that's been forced down our throats as a European civilization, because we're the only ones who are obsessed with being self-critical. When in fact, as this video documents, the slave trade, which of course is historically blamed on white people and no one else, despite the fact that every single other race, religion was involved in the slave trade throughout history, the Muslim slave trade was far longer and far more brutal than the white Christian slave trade. So this is an excerpt out of Stefan Molyneux's video, The Truth About the Crusades. Here it is.
Now, of course, every time you hear about Europeans in sort of the mid-last millennia, slavery, domination, imperialism, slavery, you European bastards. Well, did you ever hear about Islamic slavery? You should have. Because it was really quite a lot, very big and exceedingly brutal. And we got a whole presentation on this channel called The Truth About Slavery. We go into this in more detail. But Islam dominated the slave trade between the 7th and 15th centuries. The Christians entered the market of human flesh much later. 1519 to 1815 is the period of Christian slave trading. The death toll from 14 centuries of the Muslim slave trade in Africa is estimated at overall 112 million souls. Now, the Muslim slave trade typically dealt in the sale of castrated male slaves called eunuchs. Eunuchs, later to be renamed as an operating system, were created by completely amputating the scrotum and penis of 8 to 12-year-old African boys. As you can imagine, the survival rate of this savage mutilation was very, very low. And Africans, of course, in Africa are constantly complaining about Western imperialism, European imperialism, even though life expectancy more than doubled when Europeans took over South Africa. Do you see a lot of people from Africa going to the Islamic countries complaining about the much longer and much more brutal Islamic slave trade? No, because Muslims are not self-critical. Europeans have gone from self-criticism to pathological civilization and soul-destroying self-hatred, but not a lot of people going out to Saudi Arabia saying, hey man, you owe us reparations for slavery, because they'd be like, hey, you'd be a good slave.
That's Stefan Molyneux with his latest video, The Truth About the Crusades. He's talking about the fact that the Muslim slave trade in that period of history was far lengthier and far more brutal than the white Christian slave trade in terms of targeting Africans.
And by the way, Paul, of course, I'm going to be joining you, Alex Jones, here co-hosting today. I've got a working vacation today here at the office, getting a lot of administrative things done. And also preparing for more TV stations to be picking us up next year. A lot of AM and FM stations joining us as well. So I've been doing affiliate relations and cutting hundreds of bumpers for different stations around the country that have been rightfully demanding them because I've been so busy. I want to apologize for my lack of action on so many of my duties here, but we are overwhelmed in a war. Folks understand that. But Paul Watson hosting most of the show today. The big frustration for me is Islam's been very, very diverse. It's had some, you know, golden times in its history where it did promote civilization. But you're right. In the West, in the last really 100 years, the Fabian socialists have killed the amazing history of the West and superimposed over it the lie that the West invented nothing, did nothing, and basically created slavery. Slavery has been an ancient human institution. It's wrong. It's bad. There's varying forms of it. But it was well known in all history books, including Islamic history books. It said raisin heads or black people are not humans, and so you can do whatever you want with them. That's a horrible racist statement, but anybody can just Google that and pull it up. And that's why most of slavery was black people, but they also, the Muslims ran white slavery, which was sex slavery of any woman they could get, basically. Those were higher dollar. And we see ISIS following the old family tradition, you know, that 18 great-grandpas back were engaged in. And it's a frustration that for 400 years, the Islamics were attacking Europe, took over part of Poland, took over Spain, went right into Germany. And finally, they said, look, we got to stop this. England and France, basically the Vikings said, wait a minute, they're going to try to beat us. We just took over. The Vikings created mass armies that they already conquered Europe and said, you want to fight? You got one. And then they got their butts kicked. And so the whining, puning, is the Crusades. You know, they have all these Hollywood movies made about it. It's all pure, 100% unadulterated garbage. But after all, the general public doesn't know the three branches of government. So you can tell them that the Crusades were an offensive evil. No, the truth is that the Crusades were a bold operation to take back Serbia, to take back Greece, to take back the Holy Land, to take back Israel, to take back Poland, to take back Romania, to take back Hungary, to take back Transylvania. The list goes on and on. Russia had its huge battles. Okay, not just with the Islamic invasion, but the Huns and the Mongols. I mean, this has been going on forever. The Huns and the Mongols wouldn't even keep the women. They just kill everybody, but they're brown skinned, so it's liberal. It's liberal. It's liberal. This is the mindlessness. And then, starting in the 50s and 60s, every great boxer, basketball player, baseball player, almost everyone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, because they were taught and told that Islam was anti-slavery and pro-black. And it's just not true. Now, I'm not bashing black Muslims. A lot of great people. There are lots of loving Muslims, lots of good Muslim subsects and things. But the one out of Saudi Arabia that's running the show, that just took down Libya, that's trying to take down Syria, that's killing. You know, I mean, 98% of the Muslims getting killed are by other Muslims. This is a scourge on Muslims. And I want to see a reformed reformation for Islam. I don't hate these people. And a lot of their culture is good. And I'm not just saying it to be politically correct. It's true. But the variety being promoted by the CIA through Saudi Arabia is a culture-killing evil. And so I have no white guilt. I've done nothing. Most white people in this country came from European countries that ever had slavery or where you were serfs. The Germans didn't stop being slaves in most areas in Germania and Prussia and other areas of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire until 1884 or so. So, there were war slaves that fought George Washington, the Hessians, in the 1770s and 80s. But the public is just deathly ignorant of this. But do you see Germans who come from family histories where people were basically war slaves. Schwarzenegger has a low name. I don't think it's a low name. But, you know, the point is he comes from, you know, not an elite Austrian Germanic family. His means basically property. That's what Schwartz, you know, black, it doesn't mean black people. It means you had dark skin. Elitists didn't have calluses on their hands. They didn't have suntans. They weren't, quote, rednecks. They had white skin. And so that's where this comes from. If you have Schwartz in front of your name, it means lower caste. And that's just how this works. Same thing in India. This is just the way the world worked, how it operated. Slavery still goes on in India via the caste system, but the average jackass socialist funded by the Ford Foundation and George Soros doesn't know this. So that's the key, Paul. What you just hit on right there is it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Most immigrants to this country who are white have no history of slavery. Only 2-3% of people that came here, you know, before 1860s owned slaves. I mean, very few family lines in this country own slaves. In the South, you can run into quite a bit of people that had some connection to it. It's just bull. And you'll have Poles and Romanians and others. You know, all over the country, you hear about them being beaten and shot and killed by racist black mobs that are the equivalent of black Ku Klux Klan groups, killing white Eastern Europeans that have nothing to do with slavery. Zero, 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 zero. So, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church is one of the first to even get rid of serfdom. So, of course, they were still serfs under the czars, but they weren't serfs by law. So it's just, there is total ignorance. It's raining. That's why they dumb people down in school. It's so sad. I want to shift gears some out of radical Islam and the takeover in the next segment, Paul, and then want to get back into it with you. But I've got some big news on the budget, big news on military operations, big news on science and tech, big news on defense Secretary Ash Carter, who did way more than General Petraeus did. I'm no enemy of Carter, but the point is, he did way more than Petraeus did, and he isn't getting in trouble so far using his iPhone for all this classified stuff. And they're like, well, it wasn't classified info. It doesn't matter. You use that. Now it has a data nexus into the systems, and it's illegal. You're not supposed to do it. Just shows how these people don't follow any of their own stinking rules. And then we've also got the news on the whole Al-Qaeda front that I was going to get to later. Obama reassures Americans no credible threat of terror. And then that ties in with all over the country at Christmas now, the children are being taught to pledge allegiance to Allah as part of Common Core. You cannot make it up. You cannot make it up. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Strange days have found.
Coming up, talking about strange days. And when you're against this, they're going to say that you're against gay people. No, I'm not against crossing insects and vegetables with salmon to make them 3 times larger and then openly releasing them in the ocean to breed out regular salmon because I'm against gay fish. I'm against it because it's very dangerous, according to the zoological, biological, viral scientist I've interviewed, and we already know it's causing chain reactions. Look at this headline. Gay couples to have their own biological children carrying traits from both parents. So two men will be spliced together without the mitochondrial DNA expression of the women. They don't even know what it's going to do. I mean, this is crazy. This is nuts. I mean, if two men can go out and get a woman to, you know, have a baby with one of them or whatever, whatever. But, man, let me tell you something. This is China already for over 15 years has human milk produced in cows that's part bovine. For 25 years, they've had spider goats. And there's already all these new diseases and mutations and drug-resistant bacteria. I mean, these are plagues. I'm going to cover this coming up towards the end of the hour with Paul Watson. It's just so crazy. How children of the future could have 32 parents, DNA cocktail on the way, experts warn. I can't handle it anymore. I mean, this is just out of control. People say, what's wrong with buying from Hong Kong a cat that glows in the dark or a monkey? And then you read the things are in pain, they have mental problems, they're part jellyfish that is a composite organism. And if people have any idea what happens in genetics, they can make the genetic splice once and make the creature they want some of the time. But then every new generation, it becomes even more fantastically mutant and then jumps into other species. Once you cross species, there's all sorts of diseases and bacteria and viruses that couldn't affect, say, a human, but it affects a dog or it affects a cow or it affects a insect. Now the mold that can kill an insect can kill you. And the first manifestation, see, I'm covering it now, are allergies. That's your body fighting the outside environment. Allergies are up 10, 20,000% in most industrialized societies. And it's all been linked to the GMO, and we're only a few seconds into this revolution. We're dead. I predict that within 20 years, half the people, they already admitted actually within 10, will have cancer in the Western world. And they'll just be acting normal. Oh, let's have a run for everybody's dying. And oh, the solidarity. And oh, you get attention and pat it on the head. And then no one will ask why half the kids can't talk. Half the adults are dying of cancer. The globalists are bringing down the world. That's why they're bringing in invaders from Syria, who invaded Syria to murder everyone. And when they failed, they're bringing them here to just wreck everything and just run around and boss everyone around. And then they're training everyone to submit in the media and the schools from Canada to the U.S. The Christmas carols are now worship of Allah. I have 7 different articles from Canada and the U.S. Just today it's happening on national TV, celebrating Allah murdering the Christians, celebrating Muhammad killing them. You're like, it's crazy. It's meant to be crazy. They have to instill total mental illness, total insanity, where people just get used to just crazy stuff. Yeah, flesh-eating bacteria. My dad wouldn't get his teeth done. He's dead a day later. Yeah, it's all right. My wife just died. Well, my kid just died. Everybody's dying. Yeah. Well, we don't even bury people in the cemeteries anymore. They just use you to heat the power plants. That's all been set up, Soylent Green. And just everyone dies. Everyone's going to die around you. It's fun. Oh, loving. So much fun. Cancer is not just bad luck, but down to environment studies suggest, really? Oh, they've been trying to push it's all genetic. Well, yeah, you're predisposed. You smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day, you're going to get lung cancer. Some people are predisposed where they can drink all the liquor they want and have no liver problems. Some people drink 1 drink a day, they get liver failure when they're 25. But it isn't the genetics that's causing the increase. What's in the environment now is killing us. I know more than 10 people this year, in the last 11 and a half months, whose young wives or girlfriends around 25 to 35 have gotten lung cancer and died. I remember an ABC News article 10 years ago saying that the decade before that, there'd been a 7-fold increase in certain types of lung cancer in women. Women's smoking's way down. Do you know, though, what type of viruses have been found in different vaccines that mainly target women? That's the big cause. And women take more vaccines than men. They believe in the system. They roll their sleeve up and they say bye-bye. But 10 years later, when you get the lung cancer, you don't know who hits you. That's because they sting you and then it gives it time for you to die so they don't get the blame. But with toddlers, when they give them shots, they die on the spot. That's why that's been proven. The shots are killing them. You like to die? The government wants to kill you, and they will.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul.
Most cancer is viral.
I went out walking.
If your immune system is still dialed up, hasn't been worn out, hasn't given up, even viral cancer can be targeted, can be shut down. But if you get overwhelmed by all the other allergens, by all the other GMOs, your body just starts reacting to everything, and you either get an autoimmune disorder where it turns up too high, or it then collapses. And that's what the public's been given, is basically a type of environmental HIV. Not the virus that supposedly causes AIDS, but that's what it is a cocktail of environmental issues that make the immune system and most people just simply turn off. When your immune system turns off, you get skin cancer, you get brain cancer, you get lung cancer, you get pancreatic cancer. Your body stops destroying cells that malfunction. And the globalists, the Rockefellers that cornered the market on cancer by the 20s, have all written about their plan. They want the earth for themselves. They stole it through fraud. They believe they own it. And they are now testing the killing of the public and testing, can they get away with it? I mean, it's a fact that 30-something years ago, you had 1 in 25,000 children with a neurological disorder in the autism spectrum. It's now 1 in 58 in the U.S., and they're saying within 10 years, it's going to be 1 in 3. Only industrialized countries have it. Vaccines are only part of it. And vaccines are a Trojan horse cover. It's not that we don't believe and know that a learned immunity from a shot isn't real. It has problems and has side effects, but it's a cost-benefit analysis and is a great medical breakthrough in many cases, just like a ear implant or a bionic eye. I want good vaccines. I want clean vaccines. You better believe it. But these aren't that. And so I get up here and I tell you the facts. Every time there's an investigation into a so-called vaccine, it's got all sorts of bizarre microplasms and viruses and things that scientists say are like artificially made DNA and RNA packets, basically nanotech. They admitted 5-6 years ago with the H1N1, a year later, that it was a simulant virus that had been put in the vaccines a year before that then mutated and activated a year later because they'd already done a mutation chain with computers. I mean, let me tell you, what I know they're doing that's on record is sensationally evil and could put them all in prison for life, crimes against humanity. See, the Nazis tried to conquer with tanks. They had a plan once they took over to do it with soft kill in the food and water. What you're seeing is that plan taken over and adopted by the U.S. and British governments. After all, Hitler came from them. Why shouldn't his information from the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute come back home? So, see, once you know all this information, you're not too concerned about what George Soros is saying to do, are you? Fight with each other, run out, kill some cops. Then you see how stupid it all is. And for cops who think they're part of the system and are sick of the public, now you realize you're being targeted too, aren't you? And all you got to do is research what I'm saying to find out it's true. You'll find out you're being attacked right now. You want to live in a fantasy land? You're being hit by silent weapons for quiet wars. I want to read the Pentagon report on that. That's the name of it. I want to read Colonel Alexander's report. Because the mind has no firewall. And I want to go back to Paul Watson here. I want to hit some other news. I mean, speaking of the Islamic takeover, Sweden's top public broadcaster bans the use of the word immigrant. And now they're going to ban every other word. This is 1984 writ large. And it's only going to get worse unless we say no and stop submitting to it. They've got all these people that think they're part of the establishment making 50, 100, 200 grand a year. And they'll do whatever they're told as yes men and women to stay in power, except in the next 10 years, the beginning of the end of the age of humans is supposed to begin, according to the UN, the transhumanists, Ray Kurzweil, Dr. Ehrlich, Dr. Holder, the Rothschilds, Ted Turner, all of them. I've read all their books. I've read their white papers on air. I've made films about it. They're all free online. How could you not offer a film for free that has 3 hours of statements and proof and video clips of how they're going to slowly murder you and your family quietly by stealth and laughing at you? And you know what the elites have said to me when I've been off record talking to some of them? Some of them here on air, like the head of the Kissinger Group. They say, Alex, the public doesn't want to know. You already know that. They don't want your help. Join us. The lifeboats aren't big enough for everybody. The public is unvirtuous. That's why they don't care. We care, so we're just keeping all this for ourselves. No, you're not. You did everything you could to make sure they were unvirtuous, nasty little demons. And I will not sink to your level. I don't trust you anyways. help wipe all these people out, and then me and my family are going to ascend with you? Last time I looked at you and listened to you and watched what comes out of your families and what's going on in your lives, you're pretty miserable. No, I don't think I'll be joining with you devils ever. Now or never, I'm not joining you. Ever. You're going to fail. But I want to tell all the so-called liberals and so-called conservatives and so-called Muslims and Christians and whatever you call yourselves out there, if you don't know about the worldwide eugenic soft kill extermination program, if you don't know that I told you 10 years ago they were heating hospitals with baby parts, we told you 2 years ago, we told you this year, if you didn't know I told you 18 years ago they're selling baby parts at Planned Parenthood, have you figured out yet that everything we talk about is documented? Almost all of it's now come out. No matter how fantastical I told you, it's true. And that's why they've resorted to over 1,000. It was 500 on Tuesday. It's over 1,000 articles this week saying that I believe the moon landings didn't happen and the giant wasp live under the UN building. And they mix into it that also I think fluoride's bad for you. And they mix into it also that governments are staging terror or letting terrorists attack. See, they mix real stuff in with political cyanide. Yeah, let's go ahead and play the wasp clip. I mean, this is from last year, but they're back saying it again. Here it is.
An internet talk show called InfoWars. Yes, this is the same guy who has been selling the idea that the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School and the massacre at Aurora, Colorado were actually fake. They were faked as an excuse to take away our guns and enslave us to the giant wasps who hive beneath the UN building or whatever.
Colorado needs to be investigated, is what I said. Colorado, and I'm just going to go over this very slowly, but as succinctly as I can. We're going to go to Watson and then cover this other news. I'm going to be very clear about this right now. We broke, by the way, all of this. Adon Salazar, others dug through the guy's history. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. There were admitted crisis actors, not the fake ones, because there's some sites that think everybody's a crisis actor, and I'm Jeff Bridges. I wish, and I know Jeff Bridges. Point is, there were admitted crisis actors there, and then they show up at another shooting. The supposed shooter told everybody in the jail, I'm on drugs, I'm in a secret government program, they drugged me, I was out in the parking lot a day later. Then they lied and said he was never in group holding, but it turned out he was. Then it turns out this top Air Force psychiatrist is over him. His dad is in a giant human brain neural interface, the most secretive at NASA and the Pentagon for the Mars mission. He's involved in a super secret DARPA program, getting $80,000+ a year for living expenses. So they said the house is super secret and couldn't go in it for days. And then they play a video of where everyone's shot in the theater 10 seconds before he does it. I mean, you cannot make this up. The LAPD said that Sirhan Sirhan didn't shoot RFK. They've now released the ballistics. He was shot in the back by a high caliber. We know the name of the CIA agent did it. Even the London Guardian does reports showing how there were like 6 or 7 top CIA people in the audience where he was supposed to speak at the hotel. And of course, it was a security detail shot him. Sirhan Sirhan's hand was held on the side of the table, shooting at the wall. I'm that kind of conspiracy theorist. You know, when the LAPD says the government killed him, that's in the report, that the guy behind him shot him. There were cops there. So, yeah, Aurora is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what happened at Sandy Hook. Are there people on my message board saying it's totally fake? Have I had guests on that I've said, you know, they think it's fake, and I've been totally polite and nice to those guests? And then because I don't follow the exact orthodox that it's all completely fake, then, you know, I'm anathema and I'm bad. Same thing on 9/11. If I don't think space beams did it, you know, I'm anathema, I'm bad, I'm an evil person. It's just, it's all craziness. I know that they're using blue screens with Anderson Cooper claiming he was on the site. That needs to be investigated. It's a blue screen. His face disappears. His nose disappears. I know they're running loop tapes in the background. I mean, I'm in TV. I know what I'm seeing. I don't know if all these people are right. I just know the government has a long history of lying to us, so I'm going to expose it. But this is how they misrepresent everything we say and everything we do. Let's stop right there. before I get into all this other news, it's a badge of honor for us and for you and anybody else to be ridiculed and attacked. Notice we just get more successful as it intensifies. And so they have to misrepresent what we say because they can't stand up against what we've actually done. They have to make it up because they can't attack the real thing. I mean, I couldn't beat up, you know, let's say the top UFC fighter. You could. But I could build a paper mache. Heck, you bring me Donald Trump and here the pinata we have. See, it's the ultimate straw man. I wouldn't want to attack Donald Trump. But, I mean, who knows if I could beat Donald Trump up. He might kick my butt. But I guarantee you I can kick this guy's butt. Because it's a straw man. This one's paper mache. It's a paper tiger. A real tiger. I couldn't take on a real tiger. But I could build a paper mache one in the neck like I'm really tough. How about a blow-up alligator pool toy? I couldn't take on a 20-foot African alligator, but I could jump in the water and wrestle around with a fake one. And that's what these con artists of illusion do to you and your family. Is they build a pinata, they paint it up, and fill it full of a bunch of messages that you didn't say or I didn't say. They beat it, and then fake messages fall out, and they read them on air. But once you know it's a straw man, it's a straw woman, it's a pinata, it's game over. And so they now know you know you're being lied to, so they're trying to train you to just accept lies and go, hey, I'm an authority figure. 2 + 2 = 5. Raising the debt doesn't raise the debt. You didn't build your business. We're not coming for your guns. You go, that's brazen, crazy lies, the most ever. Why are they so naked? Because it's meant to break your will. It's meant to make you just give up. It's an act of desperation. It's like you walk up to some guy at midnight, you know, you've been out at the movies and at dinner, and the guy's walking out with your computers and you're like, what are you doing? They're like, oh, nothing. They're just getting this for your neighbor, Jim. And then they'll walk around the corner, drop it, and run. That's a very common tactic. And it's the same thing. We're just like, hey, what are you doing? Putting fluoride in the water. Oh, it's for your teeth. It's all these black op manuals, declassified, murder them, you know, to give them cancer, kill their fertility. Hell, they even write books and publish them. And I'm like, hey, here's their book. Shut up, conspiracy theorist. There aren't giant wasps under the Capitol. I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. And we're going to put it in 300 newspapers. I didn't say we didn't have a moon landing. Oh, really? 500 newspapers say you did. You understand these are hardcore crooks. These are slime bags behind the scenes laughing at you. And you know it. Do, don't you? And that's why they hate my guts. Because I'm not scared of them, and I don't care what they do with their operatives or their COINTELPRO or their other little operations. I came to fight, and I came to win. And me and my physical body making it through this isn't what winning even is. Winning is committing. And that brings down the providence, and that defeats you devils, and you know it. I'm a red carpet for the armies to roll over you. That's all I am. I'm not the armies that are coming to defeat you. I'm the red carpet they're going to march on. And so is everybody else fighting right now. This is the big war for the future humanity. It's a fantastic situation. And I don't mean fantastically good. I mean fantastically deep. Briefly, because I haven't been plugging today, if you want to support this operation and send a clear message to these scum, then fill my coffers for war. And you will see the results as you've already seen. You're not going to find better products at better prices that fund a more vicious organization that's just nakedly truthful, nakedly crazed for freedom, and ready for everything it takes. Free shipping. I'm going to extend to the weekend and then it's over. But you cannot get it by December 24th if you don't order pretty much right now in the next hour or so. I'm told that they're going to, if it comes in the next hour or so, that's it. But really, it's they're like, okay, maybe. I mean, it's almost questionable if you're in some places really far from Texas. A lot of areas, it'll be successful. If you order just before noon, they said they're going to stay to make sure it happens. But right now, it's even questionable. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. We got a bunch of specials on the site as well. But here's what it comes down to. whether you spread the word about the show or buy the products, whatever, or pray for us, whatever. You got to understand, they train all of us to not think huge, epic things are a big deal, to just give us a normalcy bias, to just sit here like dodo birds while our brains are being beaten out by sailors that are going to fry us for dinner. And I'm jumping around squawking and yelling, saying, let's run to the hills, let's do something. And other dodo birds are going, look at this weirdo, right as their throat gets wrung. I'm not a dodo bird, and neither are you. This is a normal response to get aggressive, to get up on a stump and say, the enemy's coming, I saw him down the road, they burned the village next to us, get the weapons, get the men, get ready. That's a normal human response. And the villagers look at the person and say, well, that's old Fred. You know, he's 60 years old here in the little village. He's never lied. The enemy's coming, and they get ready. We've told you the truth. I'm old Fred. We know what we're talking about. Maddow and all these enemies lie to you constantly. They're telling you you're not under attack. You are under attack. I want to fight these people. I want to beat them. I know their tricks. We're as smart as they are smarter. And we don't hate humans. We don't hate our fellow people. We want to build something good. We love each other. We fight a lot harder than these people do, too. That's why they're scared of us. A good person could take on 50 of these trash. But all you got to decide to do is get up and get ready like Samson. You don't even need a weapon. Figuratively, you got the jaw of that ass. You got the will to hack them down. But this isn't physical. This is an info war. And it's time to start swinging. And it's time to start stomping. We'll be back with Paul Watson. Stay with us. You put a world government in control.
And put them in control.
Watch the state become God.
Watch him become a god.
Watch people's heads a roll.
Watch people's heads a roll.
Dave Mustaine and Megadeth bringing us in. All you that haven't stood up for the innocents, you think death's so cool? Natural law says you'll be given a long, horrifying, painful
just
death. Just like Merkel and Halland brought in the radical jihadis. So the Pied Piper could play his pipe. But the third time he played his pipe, all the children marched away with the Pied Piper. Across the bridge and into the fog forever. Their future, their seed destroyed, their nation conquered. True death, the fall of the species. As the psyche explodes. Speaking of funding operations, I've known this for a while. I was obviously talking to a bunch of telecom satellite networks, the biggest ones in the world, about putting our systems up on satellites, which we're now doing, getting some TV affiliates and things around the country. We haven't even really pushed yet, but it's successful. It's moderate. We don't try to grow really fast when it comes to expenditures. And I was told by multiple providers that Glenn Beck's been trying to get out of his satellite contract. And then I was told some other inside baseball by some of the folks in his operation. And again, I don't wish Glenn Beck any harm or bad. I don't see him as competition to me. If he wakes folks up with the New World Order, that just sends more audience to me and me vice versa. I have an economic and political model that I know is accurate. There's a very primitive one where folks think if this show wasn't here, they would get some big audience. No, their audience would get smaller. That's the nature of it. It's like there being more football fields means there's more football played. It doesn't mean less football fields. Football's a bigger sport. I mean, you people are really stupid. The truth is they just don't like people that are more eloquent or stronger than them. I just admire people more eloquent or strong than I am, if they're good. If they're bad, I hate their guts and want to bring them down. But I just know how much the Trump people told me that was true seeing this, because everything I've been told ends up coming on the news later. This is from Newsmax, it's all over the news. Trump tweets Glenn Beck insults, says the blaze flagging. Donald Trump publicly insulted Glenn Beck on Twitter, claiming he was fired from Fox News and that his current venture, the blaze, is flagging. The tweet came Wednesday night, right after Beck said on the Kelly file that he wouldn't vote for Trump and was unsure whether he was any better than Hillary. This is from a guy that loves George W. Bush. And then it just goes on to kind of write an article against Trump to a certain extent. I'm not going to get in the middle of this, but I can just tell you, I have been told by people in Dallas and people in satellite networks. I mean, I sent Buckley to Chicago and to Las Vegas to the big trade shows and the big satellite deals. And we met with people from Germany, people from Europe, people from the U.S. I mean, we met with like 15 companies. And we were offered, basically, they were like, you want Glenn Beck's channel? I'm like, I can't pay for that. Are you crazy? Put tap a big, you know, peacock thing where I'm on a whole cable channel. We're doing the opposite. We send out a feed that UHF, VHF, and cable can get, and then just put us on if they want it on basic cable or on local TV where there's actually an audience. I don't want to be channel 5,029 or whatever it is in somebody's area where no one's watching. I mean, I actually studied this stuff. I can go shoot a Facebook mentions at the house and it gets 1 million views, 2 million views, 3 million views. I mean, that's bigger than the whole 10 hours of MSNBC. It was, but she'll be on cable. Oh, my gosh, the emperor's new clothes. Will you weave me a gold outfit? So I can I can arrive if I just had my own cable channel? Like all these others failing? But everybody thinks because I'm from Texas, I'm dumb. And I love the really smart New Yorkers and Europeans. They go, we know you Texans are the best. Most executives we hire are Texan. Boy, these idiots all underestimate you, don't they? But they sure carpetbag right here, like Beck and all the rest of them moving in here. But you think you're going to be me because you moved next to me? I mean, that's fine. I hope you grow up. We'll be back. Stay with us. Paul Watson straight ahead.
Answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
By the way, tonight, 7 o'clock Central, a very special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We did a fun little Star Wars parody deal with myself in a cryo chamber and more. That's going to be ready tonight. And we're going to have Jakari Jackson and Kit Daniels out, coming out with their review tonight. Also, they're going out there with Rob Jacobson to do that tonight. And people are like, why does that entertainment matter? You just said it's all diversion. I know. We hijacked the diversion to cover it. Speaking of what's not a diversion, I've told you they're going to put women in the military when every study in every culture throughout history shows it doesn't work to have women in frontline combat. Men are designed genetically to be able to handle seeing people hacked up and die around them. And not all men are. That's why they have, you know, pre-training and things to decide who's a soldier and who isn't. Not all men are cut out to do such brutal, really terrible things on the face of it. Women make magical babies and are sweet and beautiful and smart and everything, and men go around and savagely choke people to death and ram daggers through their eyes and savagely hack their guts open, and run around with 5 arrows sticking out of you, still slaughtering people. I mean, that's not women. But they're going to make the pack sizes smaller and all of it to screw up the military because the age of the machines is here. Defense Secretary Ash Carter admits improper use of personal email account, but that doesn't really matter because the real news is that Army women hurt more often in combat training, experience more mental health issues. Oh, yeah, and the best part is they don't really fight with the men. It's the other women. I mean, let's just get real about women on average, men on average too, but women start fighting with women. The problem with women in the workplace, on average, in any major study, is they start fighting with each other. Now, women do fine a lot of times just with men, though there can be some problems there, obviously. There's nothing wrong with women. And you can find women tougher than men, but the statistics don't show that. It's like you can find a European long-distance runner who can beat a top Kenyan. Comes around every once in a while, but it's not the majority. You know, like 90-something percent of the winners are Kenyan. It's not even black people, can't even compete with them. Well, the numbers are staggering. Women aren't as strong. Women aren't as fast. Women aren't as vicious. Women have 3 times the connections between left and right hemispheres of their brain. So they're more intuitive about social issues, but also can be manipulated easier by propaganda, advertising on average. This is on average. And get more confused in a battle situation and don't follow orders. And just as many women that get in a fetal position, women also flip out and then go attack the enemy and show your position. You don't think the Pentagon, the best killers in the world, didn't know that. They're getting ready to spike humans. They're getting rid of the weapon systems. They're obsolete. And that's what this is. Army women hurt my... And then it goes through this whole story in this Washington Times article It's just off the chart numbers. And that's because they're all announcing, oh, in the next decade, they're going to replace most of the combat troops with combat robots, land, sea, and air. Notice you're all hearing this now in the news. Humans aren't going to be involved. They'll have humans to negotiate at point-blank range in social services stuff or rounding folks up to be taken to re-education centers. There'll be women involved in that. There'll be women as jail guards. They make great commissars. But it's the end of men in almost all cases involved in combat. This is a direct plan to destroy the military, which you see in every other plan. Paul, I'm going to do a few more minutes with you, and then Peter Schiff's coming up to get into the interest rate raise and more. But you've been hearing me rant. What's your take on the rise of the robots and the women being put in directly to sabotage the military?
Well, I mean, the rise of the robots, of course, there was a big controversy about these sex bots a couple of months ago that could make women obsolete. So the feminists weren't happy about that. But I mean, as to your point about, you know, normalizing the bizarre, we had a story last week about a transgender father who abandoned his 7 children to become a 6-year-old girl. And a lot of the progressives supported him for doing that. So again, if you can normalize something like that, you can normalize anything. And it's, you know, obviously we tolerate people, but that doesn't mean you have to endorse complete bizarreness like that. So, I mean, if they can normalize that, it's, you know, anything goes.
Absolutely, Paul. I want to get into Al-Qaeda with you and big developments on that front. Then I'll hand the baton to you and Peter Schiff straight ahead to talk about the economy and more. It's the Friday edition. I'll be back myself this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, by the way.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, nobody in talk radio has 2 different hosts who take over different parts of the same show, but I do it sometimes. And Paul Watson is co-hosting with me. I'm popping in and out today. Peter Schiff's coming up on the interest rate hike, but he's basically already documented all that. I want to get his take on the huge increased budget and where he sees that going. Paul Watson joins us from London, England. I join you from Austin, Texas. I'll be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central with the Sunday show. And who knows how much news will be breaking this weekend. Obama says that he reassures the public no credible threat of terror. ABC News, in a speech he gave at the Counterterrorism Center. And he said ISIS didn't have anybody here in the U.S. 3 days before they, of course, attacked in San Bernardino. So, I don't know. Are we going to have another attack? It's almost always the opposite of what he says. If he says it's going to rain, it shines. If he says it's going to be cold, it's warm. I mean, if he says you didn't build your business, you built your business. Soft targets. FBI arrests Islamic terrorist who planned mass casualty attack on rush hour commuters and college lunchroom. The buddy of the last group of shooters who admits that he trained and planned to attack with them and got them the guns. This is out of the Associated Press out of Viorna, Virginia, AP. County closes schools over response to lesson on Islam. The school was teaching the kids how to basically make a religious recitement, pledging themselves to Islam during the lessons. You can't make this up. Media outlets report that the Riverheads High School teacher last week asked students to complete an assignment that included practicing calligraphy and writing a Muslim statement of faith. That's pledging yourself to Islam. Students weren't asked to translate the statement or recite. It just goes on. And now they have to shut the school because the evil right-wingers might attack. You know, the folks that let women outside the house, they must be stopped. Parents question choice to sing Allah Akbar at holiday concert, CBS News. That's out of Minnesota. And there's another one, again, of state-sanctioned Christmas carols that the prime minister promoted. Paul Watson wrote a story about it at InfoWars.com where you sing a song dedicated to Muhammad conquering the Christians and putting him to the sword. Because they did at that particular battle put thousands to the sword that didn't convert. And now the little Christian children, but there's one little girl in a hijab there. So it's okay. It's cute. Singing, oh, we love being enslaved. Chop our heads off. We love you. As they welcome the, quote, migrants, the immigrants. But they're passing laws in Europe. Where's my stack? Major countries like Sweden saying you can't report rape statistics of Muslims. And they're passing edicts at corporations banning the word immigrant from the news. Covered that last hour. That's why it's more important than ever to understand that there is a leftist combination of forces with the radical Islamists to shut down free speech in this country, and everyone must resist it. This is a political takeover. You must support and spread the word about Infowars.com, our local affiliates, and buy the products. They're great products, whether it's non-GMO heirloom seeds for the spring coming up, or great gifts, or whether it's Survival Shield X2, 20% off. We have a bunch of other 33% off retail on the Essential Pack, Survival Shield, Super Male or Female, and Silver Bullet, Cleanse Pack, Deep Cleanse, Living Cleanse, Oxy Powder, massive discounts, Winter Sun. And it's your purchase that makes all of this possible. Notice how we're under such savage attack. And they're not just using what we say to make libertarians and patriots look bad. That's not the attack. We're effective. We're waking people up. We're changing the narrative. Rachel Maddow wrote an article for the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, and hundreds of other publications this week saying, no, no, no. He's dangerous. People are listening. The Republicans are taking on his view. We got to do something. They have other White House-linked groups saying, I just need to be shut down. Media Matters, Salon. They say, now is the time to shut him up. Because I'm going to read the vaccine insert on air. I'm going to read the White House science czar saying they put fluoride in the water to brain damage us in 1974. You mean to bring the book in here and show you where he said it again for the 500th time? I'm going to keep on hitting you with your own garbage. And I'm never going to back down. Long after you've shut me up, if you were successful, I only get bigger. Now, my flesh doesn't like that idea, but my spirit burns with anticipation. I just can't believe there's so many weak scum that hate humanity out there. I just cannot believe what trash you people are that serve the system. That's who I'm talking to, the enemies. I mean, you didn't think there'd be anybody out there that didn't see who you were and stand up to you, you filth, and just bypass all your propaganda and garbage? Paul Watson, we're going to Peter Schiff as soon as we get him on the Skype line here in a minute. But I tell you, don't people get its end-of-days type garbage where they push it as, quote, gay rights to have 32 different men? It's always real weird, too. Like, we're not going to put women's DNA in here. It's only men because we're gay. Oh, what's that discriminating against women? It's that it gives mutations. It causes all sorts of problems. Top scientists are warning in the newspapers right here. Experts warn is the headline. But see, you've got to accept the clones and the chimeras and the crosses because you're sexist if you don't let the very species be mutated. Now you see what political correctness really is, transhumanism on PCP. Paul Watson, your comment on this, and then we'll move into economic news.
Well, I mean, Alex, we live in a world where, you know, the 9/11 first responders are ignored, left to die, while Caitlyn Jenner is given a courage award. This is the kind of bizarro land we live in. And again, the tolerance should be about defending minorities in terms of people who have their hands chopped off, people who are beheaded for being homosexual, women who are blamed when they're raped and then they get stoned to death, honor killings for women who look twice at men. That's what the tolerance movement should all be about. But in the West, it's like, you know, feminists, oh, there's a college rape campus epidemic. One in five women on college campuses are getting raped. Complete BS. We've known it's been BS for years and years. In fact, women on college campuses are less likely to get raped than women in the general population. But that's what feminists are concerned about. Meanwhile, the West is importing a real rape culture, and there's absolute silence on it.
And that's because the globalists, the Ford Foundation, all of them admitted they wanted to end the family and the security of men and women and children together. And so they want to kill where women have the best support, the West. So they're teaching women how to homicide the West and homicide their boys and teach them to be little gibbering mental patients. Women are being taught how to suicide the culture, and the men are being turned into arrested development gibbering morons. This is a scientific attack, as Vladimir Putin has said correctly. So is the global warming hoax, as Vladimir Putin has said correctly. Notice Vladimir Putin wasn't saying this 5 years ago. Vladimir Putin is tuned in to the InfoWar and Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I'll leave it right there. But he's tuned into the two Alexes, and I'm sure in the future folks are going to learn that. But Paul Joseph Watson, I'm going to hand you and Peter Schiff the baton now. Great job. Have a great weekend and a great Christmas coming up. I'm going to be here live this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. David Knight's doing Wednesday. We have some powerful rebroadcast on Christmas Eve and after that. If big news breaks, though, I'll be in here live. But until this Sunday, I'll be watching Paul Watson for the remainder of this hour. Now for the next 45 minutes, Peter Schiff. Paul Watson?
Okay, thanks, Alex. Financial analyst, stockbroker, author, host of the Peter Schiff Show, and the website is europac.com. Of course, Peter Schiff accurately predicted the house price crash and the 2008 economic collapse, and he joins us right now. Peter, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, and you're doing a good job sitting in for Alex.
Thanks, appreciate it. So the Dow basically dropped about 300 points today. It's gone up a little bit since. Given that it took this long to raise the interest rate by such a small amount, what does that tell you about the confidence that the Federal Reserve has in the health of the U.S. economy?
Well, it doesn't tell us anything. The Fed was talking about the fact that it was going to raise rates later in the year, that they thought the economy would be strong enough so that it would be appropriate to raise rates before year end. And of course, the analysts were expecting the rate hikes to come a lot sooner. People thought they would have done it at least two or three times by now, but the Fed kept passing and kept talking about how they were data dependent. All of a sudden, they got to December. There's 2 weeks left of the year. Rates are still at zero. And I think they thought that if they didn't raise them now, they would lose their credibility. It would prove that the economy was too weak to withstand a rate hike. So I think to try to create a false sense of confidence and to try to save some of their credibility, they raised interest rates by a token amount in a symbolic gesture to try to save face and create confidence. And you know what? It's backfiring on them, as I thought. You know, the market is down substantially. Dow's down, what, about 250 points as we speak. It was down almost 300. It dropped 250 points yesterday. But the real carnage is going on beneath the scenes. Look at what's happening in the high-yield bond market. Look what's happening in some of these leveraged funds. We're seeing all sorts of things blowing up. It looks very much like the way the markets were looking in the months leading up to the 2008 financial crisis.
And Fed policymakers, I read, they're predicting a rate of 3.25% by the end of 2018. Is that even remotely feasible?
I don't think so. I think it could be negative. We could have a negative sign in front of the nominal rate before the end of next year. Look, the Fed doesn't understand the impact of its monetary policy. The Fed has done tremendous damage to the economy over the past 7 years. And now, as they're trying to remove the stimulus, all the damage is rising to the surface. So the Fed is expecting this recovery to continue. The recovery is over, and we are at the beginning of the next recession, and it wasn't a real recovery. When I talk about a recovery, it was a bubble masquerading as a recovery. The Fed inflated a giant bubble, and all we did is borrow a bunch of money and spend it. But meanwhile, the real economy, the structure of the economy weakened, and we have all this debt and all this speculation that needs to be unwound, and it's going to be done in a very painful way.
Okay, Peter Schiff, we'll be right back on The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. Stay right there. The Alex Jones Show Live with me, your host, Paul Joseph Watson. We're talking to economist Peter Schiff, europac.com. And Peter, you were getting into it just before the break. This illusion of economic prosperity has been maintained to a great extent by these low interest rates, making the debt at least serviceable. But how on earth is the Fed going to keep raising these rates when, as you said, there's no real economic recovery to back it up?
Well, they're not. I mean, they're just pretending that they can do it to try to create a false sense of confidence where there should be no confidence. But yes, the whole thing that's kept this economy afloat has been debt. You know, if people have been leaving the labor force, as people have been losing their full-time jobs and they've been accepting part-time jobs, as more and more young people are spending more and more time in school because there's no jobs out there, we've been running up all this debt. We have all the student loans. We have all the the auto loans, more people borrowing against their homes, on their credit cards. Everybody is levering up in order to survive, and it's all being made possible by the Fed. But eventually, this is going to come to a horrible end as this bubble bursts.
Now, a lot of our listeners own gold, as you know. I noticed that gold plunged after the rate announcement, the dollar surge, but gold has recovered a lot of ground today. What's the immediate future looking like for precious metals?
Well, you know, gold was up before the announcement. The day of the announcement, gold was maybe up about 12, 15 bucks, and then it was pretty flat after they moved. And then yesterday, gold dropped over $20 and basically tested the lows for the year. Today, it's up about $15. So we have had some volatility ever since the Fed moved. But the interesting thing is we're not getting a big sell-off, which is what everybody had been forecasting. Now, what I've been saying is it was going to be a buy the rumor, sell the fact. Gold has been falling for years on anticipation of this rate hike. And now that we've got it out of the way, I think gold's going to get bought, not sold. And in fact, the anticipation is not going to live up to the hype because I believe it's a one and done. And I think the market is going to sense this as the U.S. stock market starts to fall, as the economic data continues to come out weak. In fact, the data we got this week, today, yesterday, even on on Wednesday when the Fed hiked, the data was all horrible on industrial production, capacity utilization, ISM manufacturing, Philly Fed, even the service sector. Today we got number there. The service sector PMI plunged to the lowest level of the year. So the data is getting worse, and that's before the stock market started rolling over, and that's before the Fed hiked rates. So I think the gold market is going to smell that the next thing coming from the Fed is going to be the stench of a rate cut and QE4, and I think you're going to start to see a lot of buying in the gold market. You know, how quickly it's going to begin, it's hard to say, but I think there's a lot of upside potential in gold, and I think most of the downside risk is already gone.
Now, let's turn to oil, because the Financial Times reports that, quote, the amount of oil now at sea is at least double the levels of earlier this year and is equivalent to more than a day of global oil supply. We've also got this flotilla, which Zero Hedge reported on, of stationary supertankers around Galveston, Texas. The last time we saw prices this low in terms of oil was during the last Great Recession. And even CNN's reporting, quote, the last time raw materials like copper and oil were this cheap, an economic depression loomed just around the corner. So, Peter, does this oil price crash signal the beginning of the next financial collapse?
I think it's one of the signals. It's not the only one. But yes, there is incredibly weak demand globally and in the United States. And if you look at the transportation index, Dow Jones Transportations, today it's at a 20-month low. It is significantly weaker than the industrials or the utilities. And you would think that this sector would be the largest beneficiary of cheap oil prices because oil is a big component in your transportation cost. Yet this is the weakest index, and that's because it's the most economically sensitive. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to blame the weakness in the stock market on the weakness in oil. I mean, that's nonsense. Talk about bad logic. The truth is that oil prices and the stock market are going down for the same reason, and that's because the economy is going down, and the fact that the transportations are the weakest index of all, despite lower oil prices, proves this. But I think what's going to turn the oil market is going to be the turn in the dollar, because once the dollar tanks, I think that's going to ignite a lot more global demand for oil, because I think the high dollar, the overpriced dollar, is suppressing global demand right now.
Now, I want to get into this after the break. We've got a long segment coming up, but Pew came out with this big study last week, basically said that the middle class in America has shrunk to a point where it no longer constitutes the majority of the adult population. What I found most interesting about this was what they considered to be middle class in terms of income. That's what I want to discuss after the break with Peter Schiff of Europac.com. On the Alex Jones Show Live this Friday edition, Infowars.com. Stay right there. We'll be back.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Well, hi, Alex Jones, joined by Peter Schiff of Europact.com. Was just getting into this before the break. Pew came out with a big study last week. The American middle class has shrunk to a point where it no longer constitutes the majority of the adult population. Now, first of all, they consider the middle class to be a family of three. Family of three earning upwards of $42,000 a year. I mean, Peter, with the cost of living these days, is it really accurate to say that somebody earning, you know, an average of 21 grand a year is middle class? That makes no sense.
Now, we've really lowered the bar on the definition of middle class. You know, middle class lifestyle in America used to be something that the rest of the world couldn't even aspire to. You know, if you remember the sitcom The Brady Bunch, which is even the 1970s, right? In The Brady Bunch, Mike was an architect. He had a job, but his wife Carol didn't have a job. She stayed at home and she you know worked with charity events. She did school events. One thing she didn't do was the housework because they had a full time live in maid named Alice. And they were able to support six kids. That was middle class. And they didn't have, they had two cars. I'm sure they didn't have any loans against those cars. They probably didn't have any credit card debt. I'm sure Mike saved a lot of money for their retirement. That was middle class life in America. Your dad worked, your mom didn't. You had a housekeeper, you had lots of savings, you had no debt. Today, you're talking about that family of three. The reason it's three is because they're too broke to have any more kids. One is all they can afford, and you probably have both the husband and the wife both working, and together they're making $40,000 a year. They're probably up to their eyeballs in debt, car loans, credit card debt. Maybe they have student loans. If they have a house, they got a big mortgage. They've got nothing for retirement. They're flat broke, yet that's supposed to be the new middle class.
I mean, two breadwinners earning $42,000 a year, that's middle class. That shows you how, again, how low the bar has been set. And it's, you know, yeah, it's like when they call the mega rich, the 1%, all these Occupy Wall Street people. When that 1% bracket includes households earning over $500,000 a year. So that's going to include, you know, professional, small, medium business owners, the people who create jobs and employ people. So these labels just don't conform to reality anymore, do they?
Yeah. No, I mean, imagine back in the 1930s or 40s or 50s or 60s. I mean, if you had a job, if you were a man and you had a job, any job, right? If you were a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, your wife didn't have to work. You could pay the bills, right? Without her working. I mean, how much does somebody have to earn today to enable the other spouse not to work? Even if it's the woman that has a job and there's a stay-at-home husband. I mean, I would say that in order to enjoy the standard of living that was typical among middle-class Americans earlier, you probably have to have a guy with a job of at least $150,000 to $200,000 a year. That's probably what you need to earn to be considered middle class, you know, back in the 1950s. How many people earn that money? Very few.
And liberals continue to blame this shrinking middle class on the, quote, 1%, which is really the 0.01%. They blame it on skewed income inequality, which, of course, is why they want higher taxes and wealth redistribution.
Yeah,
is that the real reason for the shrinking middle class?
Not at all. They have to take a hard look in the mirror if they want to find out why the middle class has shrank. You know, this was the predictable outcome of their big government policies. What created the middle class was free market capitalism. It was the absence of government that enabled the middle class to emerge, right? It was a lack of taxes, a lack of regulation. But the minute the liberals decided to come up with all these rules and regulations to protect people, right, to protect people from being exploited or from the vigors of capitalism, right, once we erected a massive government, we destroyed the middle class. We made the middle class much poorer. We basically killed the goose that laid all the golden eggs that enabled that middle class. And so now we have all this poverty because of the government anti-poverty programs. The widening divide between the rich and the poor is being manufactured by government. And now even more so with the help of the Federal Reserve that is really putting the nail in the coffins of the middle class.
Now, I wanted to touch on the minimum wage because There's a state rep, Democratic state rep in Missouri, Michael Butler, has pre-filed legislation that would raise the state's minimum wage from $7.65 per hour to $15 per hour. We've seen this already being phased in through local ordinances in places like Washington and California. You know, Barack Obama's right behind it, at least up to $10 an hour. What impact would doubling the minimum wage in the United States have on the jobs market?
Well, it would destroy a lot of jobs. I mean, if you want to see what happens when you have a huge increase in minimum wage, you can look at places like American Samoa. You know, we increased their minimum wage dramatically years ago, and we decimated their entire economy. We plunged them into a depression. Unemployment went up to 30%. It was practically, you know, zero before the minimum wage hike, and inflation skyrocketed too. Also, you can look at what happened in Puerto Rico years ago when we did that. In fact, Puerto Rico today has a much higher unemployment rate than America because the minimum wage effectively is much higher there because the average pay scale in Puerto Rico is lower. So we're going to decimate, you know, jobs with a big increase in the minimum wage. But the sad reality is before we even had a minimum wage, and the minimum wage was created during the 1930s, right? Part of the New Deal with Roosevelt. But before we had a minimum wage, American workers, in real terms, adjusted for inflation, had higher incomes before the minimum wage than they do now. And one of the reasons the minimum wage is so destructive is because it prevents people from getting their first job. And your first job is what leads to your second job and your third job. It's where you get important on-the-job training. It is the first rung in the job ladder. And the more rungs that they cut off from the bottom by raising the minimum wage, the higher they make it for people to get on that ladder. And, you know, the minimum wage law doesn't hurt businesses. It hurts people. It hurts individuals. It is a law that prohibits people from selling their labor if they can't find somebody willing to buy it for that minimum level. So you price a lot of people out of the labor market. And what do? They just end up on welfare, or they commit crimes and they end up in prison. It is a complete disaster. The government has destroyed so many lives with this minimum wage, and now they want to make it even higher.
I mean, I think it was you that made the video where you went out to a shopping mall or whatever and asked people if they supported the minimum wage. Basically, all of them did. And then you said, well, how do you like paying double for that flat screen television? And of course, they had a very different opinion. But well, I want to turn to the election.
Yeah, I was asking people at Walmart if they would be willing to pay 15% higher prices so that Walmart workers could get paid $15 an hour, and nobody wanted to do it. So, you know, they all want the higher wages, but they don't want the higher prices.
Yeah, they did. They didn't. They weren't even prepared to pay 15% more.
No.
Well, I want to turn to the election because, of course, we had the Republican debates this week. You pointed out in your recent article that the Fed always likes to keep this bubble inflated during the election cycle to help the incumbent party. Do you think that the Fed would make financial decisions purely on the basis of keeping someone like Donald Trump out of office and supporting a Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think the only basis that they make decisions on is political. I think that determines every move that they make. That is the sad reality. And Janet Yellen is a very partisan Democrat. She, you know, believes in big government and the big government policies of the New Deal and the Great Society. She wants to see the president's party stay in power. I'm sure she wants to see Hillary Clinton as our next president, and she believes that Hillary Clinton will reappoint her as Fed chairman. So that's what she wants. She probably sees herself as a member of the Obama administration, just the way Ben Bernanke admitted that he saw himself as a member of the Bush administration when he was, spinning the economic data when he was chairman of the Federal Reserve. So I think she's going to do whatever she thinks is necessary to make sure that Hillary Clinton, and that's the most likely Democratic nominee, is our next president. And, you know, she wants to keep Donald Trump or anybody else with an R in front of their name from occupying that office.
Okay, closing comments. Just tell people how they can listen to the podcast and about your website.
Oh, the Peter Schiff Show. I used to have a radio show that I did daily, but just didn't have the time to keep it going. So my podcast is still hosted on the Peter Schiff Show website at schiffradio.com. I usually record a couple a week. I also have a video blog on YouTube at Schiff Report. And of course, if people are interested in doing something, and I think time is running out for protecting yourself, but I think we're headed for a currency crisis that's going to make the financial crisis of 08 look like a Sunday school picnic. So you can contact me at my brokerage firm and talk to my brokers at Euro Pacific Capital, europac.com. To rearrange your portfolio to get money out of harm's way, out of the U.S., into sound economies and sound assets. And of course, I mentioned earlier on the show, precious metals, shiftgold.com is my gold company where we sell physical gold and silver.
Okay, Peter Schiff, we'll be sure to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. And happy holidays to you and happy new year.
Happy Christmas to you. There goes Peter Schiff, europac.com. Here in the final 15 minutes of the Alex Jones Show, we're going to cover some more news here, which I didn't get the chance to get to. This was a big story yesterday. It was a big story for me. Didn't get a lot of traction. But this is huge. EU exploits refugee crisis it created to push draconian plan for occupying army. The European Union is exploiting the refugee crisis it helped create. Remember, this was Angela Merkel rolling out the red carpet for anyone and everyone who could get here with no checks whatsoever, even on the basis whether they're Syrian refugees or not. 4/5 of the migrants coming into Europe are not from Syria, and many of those that are from Syria or claim to be from Syria have got fake passports, so who knows what percentage are genuine, legitimate Syrian refugees. So they helped create the crisis. They rolled out the red carpet. Now the EU is exploiting that crisis that they created with their own insane policies to push an occupying army that would have the power to take control of national borders without the consent of sovereign governments. So this is a 2,500 strong force, an armed force of EU troops under EU insignia, EU flags. We're talking about naval patrols. We're talking about helicopters. We're talking about drones that would basically say to nation states, we're taking over your border security. And in fact, they talk about internal security as well. So basically, this is an occupying paramilitary force that would have the power to take control of a nation's borders without the consent of sovereign governments. Those are not my words. That was out of the London Times reporting on this. According to Dimitri Avramopoulos, European Commissioner for Migration, the idea represents more Europe. The new agency would, quote, be able to step in to ensure action is taken on the ground, even where the member state considers there is no need for additional intervention, according to the draft proposal. So this is just riding roughshod over any semblance of national sovereignty in the name of stopping a migrant crisis that they created with their own policies. People have spoke out against this. Polish foreign minister, whose name I will not even attempt to pronounce, but it's in the article, slammed the idea, labeling it incompatible with democracy. For it to be a structure independent from nation states is astounding, an undemocratic structure reporting to who, to no one knows who, said the Polish foreign minister. Nigel Farage came out with a speech in the EU Parliament. The video is in the article slamming this, as did Diane James, MEP, who said, quote, this is a full frontal attack on national sovereignty from the EU. All pretense has now been discarded, and the Commission will now openly act against a member state wishes and operate within its borders without permission. So instead of handing powers back to nation states, having completely messed up and deliberately botched this crisis by inviting in hordes of migrants, they're not giving nation states more powers. They're centralizing powers and taking away authority from sovereign nations to create the embryonic EU army. This is what they've pushed all along. This is what Bilderberg, which of course created the EU in the first place, created the single currency, has pushed. They want an EU federal political superstate. The financial aspect of it is not enough. So they're going to continue to push for more powers by exploiting the crisis they created to basically have an EU occupying army throughout all these member states. Absolutely shocking draft proposal. It's received relatively little attention. Now, Alex mentioned when he was on this article out of it's a Max Lava article, shtfplan.com. Soft targets, FBI arrests Islamic terrorists who planned mass casualty attack on rush hour commuters and college lunchroom. On the very same day, as mainstream media outlets argued that the San Bernardino shooting was probably workplace violence, a narrative also repeated by the Obama administration, we warned that there were likely more terrorists working in conjunction with Farouk and Malik. So now the accomplice, Enrique Marquez, has come out. This is now public that they plan to actually go into colleges, throw pipe bombs at people, go onto the highway, State Route 91, with pipe bombs during afternoon rush hour, and then shoot at law enforcement and emergency crews as they arrived on the scene, according to the FBI affidavit. So not only was Farouk planning to attack the Christmas party there, which had, you know, offended and triggered him, if he'd not have been stopped by responsible armed men, the plan was to go and attack colleges, to attack people on the highway with pipe bombs. Again, absolutely shocking, especially given the context of other reports out of his story. Do I hear Alex? Okay, other reports out of Missouri of people making bulk purchases of prepaid disposable cell phones. We also had theft of propane tanks in Missouri, and a report before this, back in October, where they actually found buried explosives in a forest in Missouri. So we've got these strange Middle Eastern characters going into Walmarts, buying huge numbers, 60 in one instance, prepaid cell phones. In the same region, we've got propane tanks being stolen. Some very mysterious goings-on in Missouri, and people are rightly concerned about it, but I guess that means they're Islamophobic. Of course, the neighbors of Farouk and Malik didn't report them for suspicious activity, despite the fact they had numerous Middle Eastern visitors to their apartment. They were receiving all these suspicious packages because they didn't want to racially profile. They didn't want to appear to be politically incorrect. If they had a report of those concerns, maybe the San Bernardino massacre would have been prevented, and now we've got similar concerns in Missouri with these strange purchases, cell phones, and a theft of propane tanks. We'll be back. Final segment of the Alex Jones Show Friday edition, Infowars.com. We'll be right back.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last segment of the main classic Alex Jones radio show, the fourth hour of Overdrive, hosted with David Knights coming up. It's been a mix today here in the holidays with Paul Watson hosting, myself hosting as well. But the fourth hour has myself 10 years ago, and again about 6 years ago, paralleling Star Wars Episode 3 with real world events. And we do this to then reach out to people that are only into Star Wars, not into politics, obviously, but it's important. That's coming up. A lot of other really serious news. I just wanted to remind viewers and listeners out there that we are listener and viewer supported. We don't get tax money, again, like MSNBC and NPR. We have super high quality products. The free shipping I'm going to extend until, then it is over, until Monday. But if you're in the United States, today's the last day to be guaranteed to get your order before. Again, that's before Christmas. In fact, after noon, I was told it's not 100% guaranteed. They're trying to get them out as fast as they can, but it doesn't matter. You're supporting the broadcast. There's a present you can always get, even on Christmas morning, and that's 6 months off a year membership for the Nightly News, PrisonPlanet.tv, all the films, all of it and more. PrisonPlanet.tv, 6 months free when you sign up, and 20 people can use the membership. What a way to wake people up and, you know, spend $36 and be able to get 20 presents. Just give them your username. Boom, it's done. PrisonPlanet.tv. A lot of folks are taking advantage of this. And I want to thank you again, because all the different revenue streams we have, any two or three of them wouldn't fund the operation, but five or six of them together do allow us to continue and modestly expand in the face of the globalists. So going back to Paul Watson, and then he's going to throw it to David Knight to tell us what's coming up in the fourth hour of Overdrive, and then I'll be back, Lord willing. Don't take it for granted. They're after me. Seriously. 4 to 6 p.m. Central, I'll be live in studio hosting the Sunday show. Now back to Paul Joseph Watson in London.
Okay, David Knight, of course, Hillary Clinton is the clear front runner, but you've got some interesting news about Bernie Sanders. Tell us what's coming up on the fourth hour.
Yeah, you know, Paul, it's interesting. A lot of people are worried, is Donald Trump going to go third party? Is Ben Carson going to leave because of the talk about a brokered convention? Well, now it looks like Bernie Sanders is absolutely furious with the DNC. Of course, they have rigged the debates. You're going to talk about a brokered convention? We got brokered debates. And now what they have done, and this has exploded today, he had held a press conference. The DNC has locked them out of getting access to all data. Now, to understand what happened, there was a flaw in the vendor that managed the data for the campaigns, the various campaigns. They had some of their data that was leaked in October. They complained to the DNC about it. Some of the Hillary Clinton campaign information got leaked to them. And the response of the DNC, as they're saying, is completely over the top. The campaign manager, Bernie Sanders, was out there talking about. Now, what's interesting about this is that in both the Democrat and the Republican campaign, people are seeing how manipulated this whole system is. And I think that is one of the best things that can come out of this election. They're seeing the corruption, the tight control that is held by the party leadership, how they manipulate this. And, of course, we've seen the Democrats now really kind of moving towards socialism. Maybe he ought to run as a third party candidate. Maybe he ought to run as a socialist. And maybe the GOP establishment ought to run as Democrats, because that's what we saw with this omnibus bill that comes out. You know, what we ought to call that is the omnibust bill, because it's all inclusive. It funds everything in the universe, and we're going bust. They just left the T off of that. That's really what's going on with. We're also going to talk about the new Star Wars film. We have, as Alex pointed out, there's a video where he let out the what was being talked about in previous episodes. We're going to talk a little bit about the new movie. We won't have any spoilers for you, but I'll talk give you some general ideas of some of the agenda behind it. That's all coming up.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Of course, breaking news at Infowars.com. Thanks for joining us. David Knight, fourth hour, coming right up. Stay tuned.
Big Brother, mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this fourth hour. This is Friday, December 18th, 2015. I'm going to talk about Star Wars later in the show. We went to see it last night. Actually, I'm going to give you a bit of a overall review. I won't give you any spoilers. We have a video up that we cut last night as we went out of the movie theater. And we do have some spoiler alerts in that, but we let you know when we're going to tell you something about the plot or something that's interesting with the characters. So we give you plenty of warning at the end when we talk about some of those things. But I just want to talk about some of the general aspects of it. We have a special report that was put together where Alex Jones is talking about where he broke it down really in the prequels. When you look at the prequels, they had an interesting plot, really. It paralleled, and he's going to talk about that, paralleled quite a bit what's going on in the real world, in real politics, basically creating both sides of a conflict so that an elite can establish themselves in power. There wasn't anything really of that depth in this particular one. There were some issues. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about the omnibus bill. That's really what we ought to call it. Let's put that T on the end of it, because that's what they're doing. They're making us go bust. This is a $1.8 trillion tax and spending bill. $1.8 trillion tax and spending bill. It was 2,000 pages long. And they introduced it at 2 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday. Gave people about a day and a half to take a look at it and then rushed it through today. Obama is very pleased. Nancy Pelosi is very pleased. She got exactly what she wanted. And, you know, when we look at what's going on here, the way that this is being manipulated It was Nancy Pelosi that used to deliver thousands of pages, basic bills, waiting to the last minute, saying, if we don't fund this, everything is going to collapse. The government will stop working. It's like, fine, let's do that. Let's call their bluff on that. If they're going to continue to do that, and of course, that tactic, widely criticized by the GOP, was then adopted by Boehner. And then we heard Boehner criticized for that, and we were told that that's why we needed to have new speaker leadership, so they could get things done in an orderly fashion, so they didn't do this massive data dump at the last minute, so they could put all of this stuff in that people don't really want. But that's not the way they roll. They're going to do this with the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic Partnership as well. That thing is so large, nobody has had time to truly vet that yet, and I predict that this is something that's going to be rammed through during the holidays. It's going to be rammed through at a time when nobody is paying attention. And that's precisely what we've seen happen with this particular bill. We're going to break down the many, many things that it funds. You will not believe what they funded on this. And we're also going to talk about Bernie Sanders. Should he go third party? His campaign is absolutely furious. I looked at this. I watched the press conference that his campaign manager had. Let me give you some of the phrases that were thrown out there. He talked about the DNC being heavy-handed, said this was unprecedented. He used the phrase dirty tricks. He said their data is being stolen by the DNC. He said they're holding our data hostage. And they pointed out that they had shown this kind of data breach back in October. Let me explain something to the American people. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Those two parties have colluded together to shut the political process down for any outsiders, people like Donald Trump, people like Bernie Sanders. Whether or not you agree with their policies, whether or not you agree with these candidates, they are both people who did not come through and get the blessing of the establishment. Other candidates have come in. The establishment is closing ranks on this. That's why there's been so much talk openly in the GOP about a brokered convention. They control access to the data. They control access to the debates. They've done that to shut out third parties for a very long time. Now they're using it internally to shut out anybody that isn't really vetted for the major parties, because there is only one party in Washington. You have to understand that. There's only one party. And when you look at this budget deal, when you look at the history of the way the speakers have worked, from Nancy Pelosi to John Boehner to Paul Ryan, you start to understand why they control this so carefully. They both have the same exact agenda. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show on this Friday, December 18th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. Yesterday, Star Wars The Force Awakens grossed $57 million. Some of those dollars were mine, actually. I went to see it last night. I'll tell you a little bit about that. I won't spoil it for you, I promise. Also, we have a report coming up from Alex talking about how the first six movies paralleled what's really going on. I would say really kind of the prequels, the first three in the series, supposedly chronologically, the last three that George Lucas did, closely paralleled what's going on in this world. But before we get to Star Wars, just want to let you know that today is the last day that we can guarantee Christmas delivery. And of course, we have free shipping on everything at the InfoWars store. That's at InfoWarsStore.com, and we got a lot of other specials in addition to the free shipping. We have 20% off X2 Nascent Iodine. This is a great time to stock up. It's a great time, when you look at these health products, to give the gift of health to your family. You know, there's a lot of things that we can get. We always like to get some fun stuff, but, you know, there are some essentials that we really need to have. So right now you can get 20% off of X2 Nascent Iodine. We've got 15% off Winter Sun Vitamin D3, and then we have some combination packs. The Essentials Pack, the Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine combined with either Super Male or Female Vitality and Silver Bullet, that is 33% off. 33% off of that. Also, a Cleanse Pack that we have, and Deep Cleanse. First time ever, we've got 17% off of Deep Cleanse. Even a coffee special. We've got, if you get two bags of InfoWars coffee, you can get a free InfoWars mug. And of course, that's our 100% organic, non-GMO, grown without pesticides, gourmet quality coffee. Wake up, America. All of that is available and guaranteed shipping. If you get it today, free shipping still at InfoWarsStore.com. Alexjones.com on everything we have there. And one thing, too, that is also not only kind of fun, but also something very useful is the InfoWars Premium Power Pack that allows you to charge your electronic devices. It's an extra battery in a very, very compact format. And it even has enough capacity and charge to jumpstart your car. Comes with jumper cables to do even that. So it can run your electronic devices for quite some time in a very small package. Typically, you would see that at about $150 or more. That's $119.95 at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, free shipping on everything. Guaranteed by Christmas. Today is the last day we can guarantee that by Christmas. Now, going to Star Wars, we saw it last night. I was actually surprised that I was able to get a ticket at the last minute. I'm not one of these people who queued up a week in advance. I enjoyed Star Wars when it first came out, but I'm not that big a fan. I was curious, and I looked, and I found several places where I could still get in, because as much demand as there's been, I've seen that there's been over $100 million in ticket presales. As much demand as it is, they've added more screens. That's what the free market does. You know, Hollywood kind of understands the free market when it comes to their own money, but they don't really appreciate it when it comes to your business, your money. Now, we went to see it last night, and I would say, and I'm not going to give away anything, I'll just tell you that in terms of the movie, it was almost exactly a remake of the very first Star Wars, what they call now Episode 4. Just things were changed, but done really, really well. It was very enjoyable as a popcorn film, as a blockbuster film, extremely well-made film. But everything has just changed a little bit. You've all seen the droid going around, so that's the kind of thing. They replace R2-D2 with a droid that has a rolling bottom and a stationary head, you know, that type of thing. And so that kind of runs all the way through. All the different archetypes, the storyline is essentially the same. They just played musical chairs with the characters. There's not really anything geopolitical in it. We're going to talk about the geopolitical aspects of the prequels, and we've got a report of Alex breaking that down, and he did that well before the mainstream media is doing it. Now people understand that false flag narrative, and now they see the parallels in it, but Alex broke that down, and we're going to play that report here in just a moment. I will say, this is not a spoiler alert. This is something you'll see from the very beginning. What they've done is a role reversal with the main characters in the film, the male and the female character. They've made the male character very empathetic, very sensitive, and really not much of a fighter, whereas the female is really a superwoman. And this is really pushing this narrative that we see coming from Hollywood all the time. It coincides, incidentally, and coincidentally, some would say, with pushing women in combat. You have to ask yourself, is art imitating life, or is Hollywood pushing an agenda along with the government? Of course, we know the government has used Hollywood to press all kinds of agendas, to do predictive programming for us. That is certainly something that runs through this. I would say the best, she's also the best actor, but she is certainly the strongest character in this movie. Let's go to Alex Jones breaking down the original series in this, because although this one looks really, really good, it doesn't look like a computer game, especially when you've seen computer games technology increase. You go back and you look at the prequels, they really look starting to look like a very cheap video game. But they did have more interesting storyline in it than this one does. As I said, this one is simply an action blockbuster film. Not a lot of depth to it. It's very much like the very first one. But Alex is going to break down what was really behind the prequels. Here's that report.
Well, the long-anticipated Star Wars movie is finally in theaters. And you know, without question, the Star Wars movies have had a huge impact on popular culture. And George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, says that deep down, everyone knows that the greatest threat to liberty isn't the average criminal on the street, but the monolithic, all-powerful state, the New World Order. The human desire to resist tyranny is one of the strongest drives we have. George Lucas did a really good job of portraying that in his movies. For example, Star Wars Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, well, it's about as sci-fi as you can get, but it mirrors reality, and it details the psychology of government-sponsored terrorism as a tool of empire.
Emperor Palpatine was a little-known senator from Naboo, small planet. He finances terrorists to attack the planet. And then he plays victim and says that the pacifist republic isn't doing enough to help him with the terrorist invasion, the Trade Federation invasion, who even speak in Chinese accents. It's all geopolitical. He then goes and complains and catapults himself in the crisis into the role of chancellor. Because, you know, he was the victim, but now he demanded something be done. He'd been a pacifist previously. Now he's chancellor. Episode 2 launches terror attacks all over the galaxy with groups he's secretly financing through his backers in the Trade Federation. He turns around, double crosses in the end. So basically, in the end, they knock out all of the people that backed him, which always happens. Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, Maoist China. Learn from history. Then in episode, so he uses that to build up the power of the empire in episode 2. And now he's got this big imperial army, but it's not imperial yet. But it's the stormtroopers, the outfits, the weapon systems to counter this outside threat run by Count Dooku, the Osama bin Laden guy that actually works for him, and they meet in secret. Now, in episode 3, he launches an attack on the imperial capital himself. He launches an attack on New York. And then he gets captured, and then he sets up Count Dooku to get killed, and then he seduces to the dark side Anakin Skywalker to make him Darth Vader. And in the end, he then sets up, after he has the police state in place, he sets up the Jedi and says they're terrorists and has the anti-terror forces go in and wipe them out. And then he says he's launching a global intergalactic war to bring peace. Now, the media could not understand. Wait. And they actually wrote articles. Emperor Palpatine's attacking himself. It makes no sense. Adults cannot understand children-level ideas. Okay? Child-level ideas. Child-level.
Now, Star Wars The Force Awakens is the new film now in theaters, this time produced by Disney and directed by J.J. Abrams. And it continues the cinematic saga of an interplanetary civilization's struggles with galactic war and tyranny. The plot of the new Star Wars movie frighteningly resembles modern-day America, as global warfare, driven by a planetary empire, thrusts the world into a militarized police state. Once again, science fiction mirrors reality. Infowars.com.
It's a great report by Darren McBreen using Alex Jones's breakdown and analysis of what was going on. And, of course, who would imagine that we've got a government that creates and finances terrorist surrogates so they can then establish their authoritarian government on top of that. That was what was really excellent about the prequels. Again, this one, however, begins a new tradition. The director did a great job of recreating the very first Star Wars. But again, it's got a lot of women in combat, which is really the key action figure. They've shifted things around so that Luke Skywalker is now female, essentially, folks. That's what they've done in terms of shifting characters. And you know what they're doing with the war on terror, running both sides of this, and we've reported on this over and over again here at InfoWars. They're also doing when it comes to Washington. That's what's behind this budget deal, and we're going to break that down in a great deal of detail as well. You can see, however, how the close establishment of elites in both parties have exactly the same agenda. It's a very authoritarian agenda. When we look at what they're pushing on this bill that just got run through that they gave nobody any time to take a look at, we're going to play some comments from Senator Sessions. He really breaks this down. I really appreciate his honesty. He's more than anybody else. He took a look at what was behind the Trans-Pacific Transatlantic Partnerships when they were running through the TPA, the fast-track authorization for this, subverting the constitutional process of review, the constitutional process of approval by the Senate for treaties. Let's not call it a treaty. Let's just run through a simple process where there is just a simple majority in both houses. We won't have any debate. We won't have any amendments offered. Boy, that sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it? Yeah. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to establish a global dictatorship. So we're going to break down what's behind this, what's behind the betrayal of the American people by both party leaders. When we come back, stay with us. Welcome Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at this omnibust bill. Put the T on it because they're going to bust America with this. They're going to bust us financially. They're going to bust our borders. They're going to bust our privacy. It has so many different aspects in it. Funding Planned Parenthood 100%. Everything is in this. A $1.8 trillion bill. Now, I was interested to see the reactions of Rush Limbaugh. It was his commentary on it that was pointed to by the Drudge Report. This is Mr. GOP. And what he had said was, why don't we just disband the GOP if they're going to do this kind of thing? Let me read you his comment here. He said, this was out and out, in our face, lying. And we're going to play the clip from Senator Sessions where he says exactly the same thing. He said, we understood the problems with the border. We thought maybe we had a chance with this new leadership. We made some improvements to try to pull some things back, to try to stop some of the things Obama is doing. Those were shut down. We got word that there was going to be some things put in there for the corporations, and then we got assurances that those were not in there. He goes, they lied to our face, lied to the face of the senators, not just to the voters. Gave them these assurances, and then Senator Sessions says, and then at 2 a.m. in the morning, they dropped this bill on us, and he goes, it's all there. They just lied to us. And then they give them absolutely no time. Holding under their head, say, if you don't do this, we're going to shut the government down and we're going to blame you for this. A 2,000-page bill, $1.8 trillion worth of spending. That's what we come to expect from our new speaker. And, of course, he got a lot of cooperation from all of the Republicans. So Rush says this was out and out lying in our face. From the campaigns to individual statements made about the philosophical approach Republicans had to all this spending. There is no Republican Party, he said. You know, we don't even need a Republican Party if they're going to do this. I agree. You know, just elect Democrats. Disband the Republican Party. Let the Democrats run it. Because that's what's happening anyway. And these same Republican leaders doing this can't for the life of them figure out why Donald Trump has all the support he has. They really can't figure this out. Now, let me read you something else that Rush said in this, which I think is very enlightening. At the beginning of the transcript, he says, it's not all Republican caving, understand. He says, a lot of it is Republican fealty and loyalty to some of their donors. Yeah, okay, think about that. Hold that word, fealty. There's a lot of truth in that. I don't know if Rush is criticizing this or not. I'd have to go back and listen to his tone. But he points out these people have donated money, and so they expect these favors back. So this is fealty. Remember where that comes from, okay? That's the essence of crony capitalism. Fealty is a medieval term, a feudalism term, and that's what they are pushing us back into, is a kind of global feudalism. When they negotiate these trade partnerships, they're selling this as free trade. It's not free trade, folks. It's not free trade. This is a 21st century feudalism. They negotiated this without our elected leaders, without any representation. Our elected leaders were not allowed to talk about this. We only had one with the courage to talk about it, and that was Senator Sessions. This is something that is sold to us. They send their representatives out to negotiate this bill secretly. They tell our elected representatives they can't look at it, they can't talk about it, and they have absolutely nothing to say about it. And they were fine to just abdicate their power to these corporate lobbyists who are writing this. And it's about far more than free trade. This impacts the freedom of the internet. It impacts so many different areas. We've talked about these deals over and over again, but what you have to understand is how they surrendered their sovereignty to this, to say that we are going to let the corporations dictate to us what we can and cannot do. They're going to write the agreement. They're going to tell us what we can say about it and what we can't say about it. That's how they have kowtowed to these people. But it really is a kind of feudalism, a kind of fealty. Understand that this is a feudal term. Fealty was an oath that was sworn by a vassal to their liege lord. Okay? It also referred to the duties that were incumbent upon that vassal to their liege lord. Kind of sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it? Okay? Guess what? You got people at the top of the Democrat and the Republican Party that belong to the Sith, if you want to continue the analogy. That's exactly what's going on, folks. It happens when they are setting up these governmental structures that are created out of their own chaos that they create, their own crises that they create. They create these structures. They'll create an economic crisis and say, well, we have to have free trade or, we're going to plunge the world into depression. They're going to do this with war, with terrorism, scaring people, setting up the police state. That's precisely what they're going to do. And when we come back, we're going to tell you some of the details of this job. And we're also going to point out what who one of the major Sith Lords is, George Soros, pushing now for Europe to do even more in terms of bringing in migrants. We'll be right back.
I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality.
I've got one that can see.
We can't be the only ones who can see.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's got at the root of all our problems.
It's a new morning in America. Fresh, vital. The old cynicism is gone. We have faith in our leaders. We're optimistic as to what becomes of it all. It really boils down to our ability to accept. We don't need pessimism.
I have two words for you. Predator drones.
And who are you, little fella?
You will never see it coming.
I'm predicting the first guy who uses a Second Amendment weapon to bring a drone down that's been hovering over his house is going to be a folk hero in this country.
Nice. There is a signal broadcast every second of every day through our television sets.
I'm just trying to warn you folks, the television is a giant LED weapon system. It's so advanced. They got a monkey farm in Bastrop, folks, that they do all sorts of testing on great apes, rhesus monkeys, the whole nine yards. And they go, oh, you didn't see this, and punch a button, and it'd be hundreds of monkeys with wires in their brains with television sets brainwashing them.
All I ever have to do is be famous. People watch me, and they love me.
You can have a little taste of that good life, too. Now, I know you want it. Hell, everybody does.
Do it to your own kind.
What's the threat? We all sell out every day. Might as well be on the winning team.
The real men of the world have to stand up and say,
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
And I'm all out of bubblegum. Time to take a stand, boys. You know what? You got a little courage. Stand up for yourself.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The Oscar winners give a press conference and how to buy a sailboat as...
Long live the Republic! Death to the New World!
And again, the rich metaphors in that John Carpenter film, They Live. And there's a lot of rich metaphors in Star Wars. As we were just talking about this, the the fact that we have the Republicans and the Democrats in leadership joining together to back exactly the same agenda. As Rush Limbaugh pointed out, Drudge picked up on the wording where he said, disband the GOP. And yeah, we don't really need them. They're really redundant. I mean, the GOP has become the Democrats, and the Democrats are starting to move towards socialism. So where is the party that represents America? That is the secret of Donald Trump's success. What the Republican establishment won't do. And let's look at who they represent. George Soros is now pushing open immigration in Europe as he has in America. And this is another link that I believe was on Drudge. This is from Sputnik International. Point out American business magnate George Soros is making every effort to boost the refugee flow to Europe by encouraging asylum seekers to travel to the continent and urging European leaders to fork out the money. Now, this is a historian and a strategic risk consultant, F. William Ingdahl. And he writes, since John D. Rockefeller was advised to protect his wealth from government taxation by creating a tax-exempt philanthropic foundation in 1913, foundations have been used by American oligarchs to disguise a world of dirty deeds under the cover of, quote, doing good for mankind, known by the moniker philanthropy, for mankind loving. And he says, this is a recent thing on New Eastern Outlook, and he points out that George Soros is a prominent international supporter of democratic ideals and causes. Of course, no exception to the rule. That's the way they mask it. But he truly is one of the Sith Lords. And I think when we look at this Rush transcript, the thing that stuck out to me was not the word disband, as in disband the GOP because they're redundant. Okay, there's just a single party there. But this word fealty. And as I pointed out, it's something you swear to your liege lord. And of course, it is also the name for the obligation that you have once you become a vassal of that liege lord to do whatever they wish to do. That's what we have to understand. We have to understand that there is no difference between Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, between Paul Ryan and John Boehner, between John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi. They all represent exactly the same thing. In response to this, we see the White House saying the U.S. spending bill appears to meet Obama's priorities. Yeah, it meets all of his priorities. It funds Obamacare. It funds his open immigration. It funds everything that he wants. Even the climate deal that just came out this last weekend, they signed on to this in Paris. And as I pointed out the other day, we had a U.S. Republican senator from Wyoming, John Barrasso, bravely saying Congress will have a say. Well, they've had their say. They have basically funded it for Obama. They could have shut this down. This is the Green Climate Fund. That was really the only thing that was agreed to. He wanted a authoritarian international mechanism that could measure and enforce this with penalties. They didn't get that. What they did get, however, was a massive transfer of wealth to the third world, and that wealth is not really going to be transferred to the third world because it's going to be transferred via intermediaries. People like George Soros, people like Bill Gates and Al Gore are going to be the intermediaries. Guess how much of that money is going to pass through their fingers and how much of it is going to stop at their fingers. Most of it will stop there. So they funded Obamacare, they funded Planned Parenthood, they funded the climate deal, they have funded open borders, sanctuary cities, $1.8 trillion, 2,000 pages, and Paul Ryan dumps this onto them in the dead of night, doesn't give them any time, tells them they have to sign this or they're going to shut the government down. I want to play you what Senator Sessions said because he is great at exposing the lies. Here's what he had to say.
This bill explains why Republican and Democratic voters are in open rebellion, as former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich said recently. Open rebellion. They elect people that they believe are going to take action to protect their security, their jobs, their wages, and what do they get? Bill that is worse than current law, goes in the opposite direction. I'd heard this might be under consideration, and so I asked about it. I said, American people don't want a fourfold increase in immigration. I know there's some special interest pushing for this. I've heard that. Tell me it's not so. And I was told it wasn't so. But last night, this morning at 2 a.m., I guess, when the bill was produced, it's in there. At a time when hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens who by law should be deported are on our streets, we've had hearings on this. Criminal aliens are killing innocent Americans. Numerous foreign-born individuals are implicated in terrorism. Tens of thousands of aliens from Central America continue to stream across our southern border. Countless Americans are being replaced by foreign workers and forced to train their replacements. And millions of other Americans just struggling to get by. We put in language that would prevent illegal aliens, from receiving tax credits. It's unbelievable. And they file some sort of tax return, and they don't pay taxes because their income is low, but they get a tax credit based on children that are not even in the country.
Wow, you hear that?
I mean, how abusive is that? So all these were rejected by the bill supporters. But industry's request for more foreign workers, that was granted. 83% of the electorate want immigration either frozen or reduced. And the Republican-led Congress is about to deliver the president a fourfold increase in one of the most controversial foreign worker programs that we have. This omnibus bill approves the president's request for increased refugee admissions, allowing him to bring in as many refugees as he wants, and he can bring them from anywhere he wants and allow them access to unlimited welfare and entitlements at the taxpayer expense, which is not scored as a cost. Under this bill, it will ensure that at least 170,000 green cards, that means permanent residency with a guaranteed path to citizenship, refugee and asylee approvals will be issued to migrants from Muslim countries just over the next 12 months. This Congress has chosen to make things worse.
They have chosen to make things worse. They have chosen to out-Democrat the Democrats. And as Breitbart has pointed out, he gave a figure of 170,000 green cards. They pointed out 300,000 visas for Muslim migrants in just 1 year. They also pointed out that Paul Ryan, and of course he has a long, long history. This isn't any surprise that he would support open borders. He has a long, long history of doing this. They point out that he builds a border fence around his mansion, but he doesn't fund border fences in the omnibus bill. Make sure you put that T in there because they are bankrupting us, folks. They are trying to fund everything in the world. We are now the empire that tries to control the world. We are the empire that is pushing for a global governance. That's really that main push is coming out of America. That's where the elites are really focused here. Of course, it also funds all the sanctuary cities. It doesn't do anything to push back against any of this. We're going to play a report here from John Bowne. Before we get to that, let me just sum this up for you. Here's what CNN, how they summarize this. Congress approved a $1.1 trillion spending package. Some people put it at $1.8 trillion. That's other people have scored it. See, they have put this 2,000 pages out here so quickly that you can't they don't even know exactly what's in it. But it is well over $1 trillion. It avoids a government shutdown. Isn't that great? And it funds the federal agencies through next fall because that is the only thing that is important. The only thing that is important is that the government continues, that we keep the government salaries and the government federal agencies safe. You know, like the federal agency, the FAA, that is threatening to fine you and your children $27,000 if you fly your toy model airplane outside of the house before you register it with them. That goes into effect December 21st. Absolutely outrageous. The excessive fines that they put in this. And of course, that's a civil fine. You won't get a day in court. They will just assess that to you. $27,500. And they are going to require, that's just for not registering it. That doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. You just took it outside and flew it in your front yard. If they were to see that, they granted themselves the authority to do that. So we need to keep those kind of federal agencies running at all costs, no matter what happens. So we need to keep that going. We need to keep the government running. Now, this is what happened. They said the House overwhelmingly approved the measure in a surprise 316 to 113 vote. It was a major victory for the new Speaker, Paul Ryan. 150 Republicans, a majority of the House GOP conference, backed Paul Ryan. John Boehner rarely got that kind of backing from Republicans on a spending bill when he ran the House, they say. This is CNN talking. Obama called Ryan after the vote to thank him. Thank you, Paul Ryan, for doing exactly what I want to do. This is just unbelievable how these people work together. And, of course, the conservative House Freedom Caucus that we had pinned some hopes on, hoping that it was going to be the organization that would push someone forward like Daniel Webster to stand up against doing business this way, that would stand up to the single Washington party. They caved on the speaker race, and they caved on this vote as well. And a Kansas congressman, Tim Huelskamp, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, says that this is a Christmas present to Donald Trump because it represents another example of a Republican establishment cutting deals with Democrats. That is precisely what this is. They say, indeed, passage was a win for House Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi, who took several last-minute steps to assuage liberals in her Congress who threatened to torpedo the bill. Yeah, don't worry. We're going to get everything we want. Let's play John Bowne's report. I want to let him break this down for you. And of course, these details are going to continue to unfold.
This is what happened while you were sleeping, dreaming of family and friends gathering for the upcoming holiday season. Yet another treasonous move from our corporatized politicians and their New World Order agendized act of war against the American people. Act of war against the American people?
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Come on. Well, I'll explain why. But first, how destructive is the 2,242-page omnibus package led by Obama's sycophant Paul Ryan? Breitbart reports, Representative Paul Ryan's first major legislative achievement is a total and complete sellout of the American people, masquerading as an appropriations bill. Obama's unconstitutional 2012 amnesty for hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens continues to warm the federal printing presses with work permits and federal benefits. Meanwhile, the tax-paying middle class will be cannon fodder for the unconstitutional Obamacare penalties that have doubled since last year.
I intend to keep this promise. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
Breitbart continues. Obama's executive action, known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, has granted around 700,000 illegal aliens with work permits, as well as the ability to receive tax credits and federal entitlement programs. Regardless of the fact that a promising 32-year-old American woman was gunned down in broad daylight in San Francisco as a result of the failed policies of the revolving door allowing criminals to return to sanctuary cities, Ryan is rewarding these sanctuary cities with a heap of federal grants. Division B, Title II of Ryan's omnibus funds various grant programs for the Department of Justice, pages 167, 168, and 169, and contains no language that would restrict the provision.
All right, you can catch the rest of that report on our YouTube channel, on Alex Jones's YouTube channel. In the next segment, we're going to have Leanne McAdoo come in and talk to us about what's coming up on the nightly news tonight. And of course, if you're a Democrat and you're looking at this and saying, well, that's great, we got everything we want, not so fast. We're going to talk about how the Democrats are messing with Bernie Sanders when we come back, because it's one club, folks, just as George Carlin pointed out. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and joining me in studio right now is Leanne McAdoo. She's going to be telling us what's coming up on the nightly news tonight, which she'll be hosting. We've been talking about this omnibus bill. And, of course, it's not just finances. They've also put in an even worse version of CISA that just recently passed. So they're coming after your freedoms as well. Democrats can be concerned about that. And Democrats need to be concerned that even though there's a lot of programs that were funded in this bill by Republicans that Democrats want to have, that Obama wants to have, they need to take a look at what's going on with Bernie Sanders today. And, of course, this is breaking news. There's talk about the GOP brokering a convention. Well, we've got brokered debates. We've got brokered databases. You want to talk about the CISPA legislation that just passed? There's a back and forth in terms of who got whose database. But I watched the press conference from Bernie Sanders' campaign manager, and he was absolutely furious. He was literally shaking with anger. And he made some of these comments. And, of course, this is the way NPR summarizes it. They've been locked out of a key database of Democrat voter information after a staffer accessed data collected and organized by the Clinton campaign. And, of course, this is not that he hacked into it. This was a poorly written software that had been had exposed the Sanders campaign's data. Back in October, they said, hey, this firewall that is supposed to keep this information private for the separate campaigns is not working. Our data is exposed. This data was exposed. This staffer took a look at it. They subsequently fired this staffer. But now they have blockaded this data, which they need to identify and to contact voters. And, of course, the Sanders campaign is funded out of grassroots. This is some of the things they said. This is an inappropriate overreaction. Now they are actively attempting to undermine our campaign. If the DNC continues to hold our data hostage, we will be seeking immediate relief in federal court. Clearly, while the information was made available to our campaign because of the incompetence of the vendor, it should have not been looked at, period. He said, rather incredibly, though, the leadership of the DNC has used this incident to shut down our ability to access our own information, information which is the lifeblood of the campaign. So we see the same type of thing happening in the Democrat Party that is happening and the Republican Party.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing with only giving them six debates, three of which are on nights when no one is going to be watching, two Saturdays, one on a Sunday, one is coming up this Saturday. And someone from the Sanders campaign said, what, was Christmas Eve booked? Because they're specifically setting these up so that no one will watch. And that's because everyone knows the name Clinton. So yes, as long as her opponents don't get any airtime, they figure they can sway the votes. So the DNC is clearly all in for Hillary. And I think Bernie Sanders needs to run as an independent.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you got somebody coming up tonight that is a feminist who is upset with the narratives that are being pushed out.
Now, this is author Joy Brighton. She is a liberal. She is a feminist. She's a champion for women's rights. And it's that simple fact that caused her to write this book. Shariaism is here, the battle to control women and everyone else.
And of course, that's one aspect of it. The other part of it is women in combat. That's what Star Wars is pushing. They can't get enough men, perhaps, to buy into their imperialist war. So they're going to have to go with both sexes to fill up the ranks.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time here, I want to let everybody know that this is the very last day that we can guarantee shipment for Christmas. We have a lot of specials, especially free shipping. That is a huge discount at the InfoWars store. This is what funds our operations, folks. This is how you can stand with us to promote freedom and to promote your health. To buy something for Christmas for your family and friends, we have 20% off of X2 nascent iodine. That's something that's not going to have an expiration date. We have 15% off of winter sun vitamin D3. Even specials on coffee. You get a couple of bags of coffee, and this is great coffee. It's what I needed today after watching Star Wars in the wee hours of the morning. It tastes great. It's very healthy for you, and you get two bags of it. You can get a free mug. Check out the specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the InfoWars Nightly News tonight with Leanne McAdoo. And support our operation today, the last day you can get guaranteed shipment, free shipping for Christmas. Thanks. That's the end of our program. Again, check out the Nightly News tonight with Leanne McAdoo. Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you.